gas out if you want to go.
Ready? Rolling.
And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Talking now.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Now I'm looking for the bong. Now I'm finding the bong. Now I'm loading the bong. Now I'm in the bong.
Weed opens up your brain. It's just your cells works better. You eat better. You listen better. You do sex better. You work better. You design cut better. You massage better. You drive better. You are all together better.
Are you mentally insane?
I want you to look at this camera. I have not done any drugs. I've drank a little bit, but even if I wasn't drinking, I would tell you the same thing. What do it take to be number one? You are in the presence of a champion. Bow in the presence of greatness, family.
And now.
I always say that we are very fortunate in California because we have a lot of disasters.
Suck it.
Our feature presentation.
He said that?
He did say that.
He said we're very fortunate because we have a lot of disasters.
And I think his point had something to do with, I'm not sure, but I think he was talking about having lots of emergency personnel that you could go to. That there were a lot of firefighters.
See. Right.
So we're lucky we have a lot of disasters because we are prepared when things like this happen, is what I think he was saying.
Because we can deal with
sense.
It.
Yeah, but it did
strike me as an odd perspective on it. I mean, I know your job is maybe to be positive in that situation, but it seemed odd.
He's a damn foreigner. He doesn't really get the language.
Yeah, you can't say the state's name anyway. So what the hell?
Exactly.
Yeah,
what
California.
What are you going to do with that?
And it's kind of like totaling your car, and you're laying there in the wreckage, and you go, "I'm so fortunate that we have 911 because this is a good deal."
Sure,
I'm happy about this. I don't know. Just struck me as weird.
It's a good thing we have disasters. I'll tell you that. Nothing like a disaster.
That's what I was just thinking.
Disasters are good.
Speaking of disasters, by the way, I heard this morning, I was cursing Alita in her turtleneck this morning on Channel 4, the news.
You are obsessive.
He really is.
She's infuriating, isn't she?
No. She does the weather on a TV station.
Yeah, and
who cares?
She doesn't owe you boobs.
And who cares?
She doesn't.
Mike, back me up on this.
If you have those and you don't display them for us to see, it's actually considered rape in California.
I think you're right.
Alita's raping Bean and I.
At a minimum, it's a crime against humanity.
How have I missed this law?
I think that there are words coming out of your mouth that you may not understand.
Look, no, but Bean brings up a point. I mean, if she's going to have those and clearly wear these sweaters that are like constricting her blood flow because they're so tight to show them off, at least give us a little cleavage. You're just teasing us.
Okay, but here's what I'm saying.
A little piece of skin. That's all I'm saying.
Here's what I'm saying. A lot of different places you could find girls with
that's
cleavage.
Not the point. That's
you don't
not the
need
point.
To
that
watch
is so the point.
The Channel 4 the weather point. Chick every day. And by the way, if you find out that she's not showing a lot of cleavage, that's what you want. Stop watching it.
But Kevin, that
find
would be like
someone
saying,
who does.
That would be like saying there's a guy. Let's say there's a guy who comes and pees on your lawn every morning. But there's lots of other people who don't. So you just ignore the one that does.
I don't even get
or do
that.
You deal with him?
No, it's exactly like that. He's got a point.
Thank you. Exactly.
I have any idea what he's saying.
So, sounds to me like you want to focus on all the people who aren't peeing on your lawn, and I'm telling you that there's somebody peeing on my lawn and it needs to be dealt with. That's not even the point. I didn't even bring up Alita for this reason. But I'm saying that on the news this morning, they were talking about how, what are they calling it, a severe hot weather warning? Is that what it's called?
Is this for the Antelope Valley?
I don't know.
For all over. I mean, for lots of Southern California and Central California, you're talking about that. And then they're talking about the unhealthy air quality alert that they're doing.
Okay.
And then they said the part that I wanted to ask you guys about, which is that the government, Sacramento, including Governor Schwarzenegger, they want you to keep your thermostat at 78.
Oh, the flex.
Flex alert?
Yeah, because they're going to lose power,
right?
Energy
flex.
Okay.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
What does that mean?
There's nothing wrong with that. Oh. I'm curious how that goes over and how well that, how much that advice is heated here in the room.
How many people pay attention to that?
You do? I keep mine at 78.
78, really?
Yeah.
That sounds miserable.
No, but above it's bad.
Above is 78, but 78's okay?
With a couple of fans going, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And ice packs on her neck and on her forehead.
No, it's not bad.
78 just seems awfully warm for indoors. That's all I'm saying.
To you, who, if it's above 50, has a meltdown.
Now, are we talking about general air conditioning in the general house, or are we talking about perhaps in the bedroom where you sleep?
I think it's the same, isn't it?
Because I do 58 in the bedroom.
You do not.
You don't.
I mean, it really has to be cold for me to be able to sleep.
Really?
Not 58, but 78. I would not sleep a wink at 78. Not a wink. I just would. It would drive me crazy. I set it like 71, and that's because my wife doesn't want me to go lower than 71.
Right.
But every place else, if we're not home, I set it at 78.
Well, that's big of you.
So I think that's fair.
As long as I'm not home.
Huh? What if you are home?
Well, that's ridiculous.
Well, what do you set it at then? I'm just curious. They're saying 78 is what they're recommending. What do most people do you think do?
I'm guessing mine's 75, 76. Not that bad.
Yeah.
Not that bad.
It probably just depends on your personal tolerance for heat.
Yeah.
I mean, it really doesn't bother me that much. Plus, I don't wear a lot at home.
Yeah.
Because I live by myself. So, you know, you have twin daughters. You got to wear a little
more. Webcam Lisa's house.
Well, that helps. But there's probably a lot of factors.
Lisa does weather for Channel 4.
Alita's sweaters are that tight because her breasts are that big. If she didn't have tight sweaters, she would have to wear voluminous sweaters.
She has to wear a burka.
Them. Yeah, pretty much. Exactly.
Her sweaters
Everything she wears is tight.
Her sweaters are screaming for help. They're just about to snap.
That's right.
Like, I don't know how much I can hold.
They do need some relief. That's all I'm suggesting. And so do I.
But I'm saying it's been a solid year.
Sure.
That Bean watches her every day and complains.
And complains.
Every day.
And how about you, Mike? No air conditioning at the Mike house, right?
Yeah. Yeah, 78.
So you don't have to worry about it.
78 would be a dream.
That would be a dream.
You don't have it or you don't use it?
I don't have it.
Seriously?
Have it at all?
You don't have it?
Yeah.
And you don't have air conditioning at all?
No, I have like one of those like window unit type.
Now, those are kind of BS, but they help within like a 3-foot radius of them.
You just sit there.
You just have to sit right there.
And I found that all that does is just crank up my energy bill. It doesn't really help.
Doesn't pull anything off?
Yeah, so I just deal with it. Like Lisa said, I just get like just this unbelievable concert of fans point at me, and
but during the summer,
it's weak sauce. Yeah, don't get me wrong, it's way high. And like you said, I mean, I have just tremendous trouble sleeping because I'm just sweating buckets, and you know, you got to be cold.
Now you bought an apartment or a condo?
Yeah, I rent an apartment.
Well, how do they come with no air conditioning these days?
Paula has a window unit. They say they do.
And like I said, I mean, sure, if I sit in front of it, it helps. But
right.
You know, if you move around,
you're getting really close.
It gets so. I live in the San Gabriel Valley, which is kind of like, you know, the San Fernando Valley. It just gets so overwhelmingly hot, and the sun happens to hit right at, you know, my apartment, right just bangs in there. So after about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, there's just nothing you can do.
Do you not adding air conditioning too expensive?
Afterwards, that's
crazy expensive.
It's like probably the biggest thing to drive up an energy bill, isn't it?
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah.
And I certainly notice the difference.
Well, I guess you'd have to leave it there when you left because you don't own the apartment,
sure.
too.
Yeah. And so...
He just goes to his parents and swims.
My parents don't have air conditioning.
What?
What's wrong with your
My
family?
My parents' home is really old. It's one of like those old houses in Pasadena and stuff, and it's great and everything. But they, you know, when we moved in the mid-80s, they said, okay, we got to get some air conditioning in this bad boy. And they said, you know, for us to put a modern type of air conditioning in this home would be an unbelievable undertaking.
It is absurd. It is.
And
they'll come in and they'll go, well, let's see, best estimate, we'll give you a 10% discount because you're a good customer, $5 billion.
Yeah, it's so overwhelming. And my father said, you know, listen, you could sweat it out for a couple hours, you know, or a couple months a year. For that type of money. So I just grew up getting used to it.
I must be a total wiener because I would not move into a place that didn't have air conditioning. I don't think I would. I mean,
that's because you weren't in the Ho Chi Minh Trail in summer of 70. You don't know what it's like.
You weren't either.
I know. Yeah,
right. You weren't even born in 70.
I know.
Okay. Just to clarify.
He's so sad that he missed that war.
He is. He wanted to be a part of that so bad.
He really did.
All right. It's 5:39. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday the 8th of... Do you like it in the ass?
Yo, butt ain't made for that!
I'd do that for Bean. He loves that.
Yeah, he loves
Plus,
that.
Plus, that's a great... That preacher's one of my favorites. All right, on today's Kevin and Bean Show, we are going to talk about Ozzy Osbourne's new variety show.
Oh, can't wait.
Which seems odd. I mean, you would think that they might introduce other people, friends, family... Other people that try out for the show?
Maybe after they do the first one, they'll rethink that whole concept and start bringing in other people.
The way it sounds, they're going to be the actors. He and his wife and his kids are going to be doing the skits.
Fabulously talented children.
That is a terrible idea, and yet I can't wait. Cannot wait. Gene Simmons is going to be on the program today.
Yeah. Yes.
He's got a new book called Ladies of the Night, and it's about prostitution, oddly enough.
Yeah.
I brought a sweater.
Did you?
Look, yeah. I brought the sweater Bean gave me for Christmas. It's this super heavy. I may die from sweat, but
Lisa,
it's unbelievably heavy.
Wouldn't it be more
Irish
fun to torture him,
sweater.
Though? Wouldn't it be more fun just to make him miserable by having you be there and look so alluring?
I just want to disappear into the corner,
I'm
frankly.
Guessing he's not miserable when he sees that because he probably sees plenty.
Yeah, he's
I'm
good.
I'm guessing.
He's good.
But he's not going to be happy until he's had every woman, though.
Well, that's true. And Mike, same thing. Mm-hmm. Also on today's show, we are going to, if you missed it late in the show yesterday, we had an interview with a guy named Ross Dale who wrote a book about his time producing the Sexcetera show on Playboy TV.
Yeah.
And he's got some fascinating stories. He's a guy that never watched porn, really.
Very conservative household.
Very conservative. Yeah. Upbringing, family, everybody. Yeah. And ended up doing that. He was producing Sexcetera for many years on Playboy TV. Also, we're going to talk to Beans Gardner, Jesus, find out how his big weekend was over the 4th of July. Because, you know, being a slave driver.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Having a big party. Jesus, not there.
Oh, he
was
there.
Jesus was there.
Yeah.
What was he doing?
Yeah, exactly.
VH1 Honors. That's I think it's this weekend. Is that correct?
Yes.
And we have
Saturday night. It's a tremendous lineup.
We have tickets for that. And there's a bunch of bands playing Who songs. Not a big giant Who fan myself, but some of the bands, Foo Fighters and other bands like that, are going to be there. So
cool.
That'll be fantastic. So that's coming up today. We've got to get a recap on Omar's Amazing Race.
Yes.
He toured Europe in a day and a half. It was really weird.
So 15 countries.
DJ Omar Khan.
Just flying through. Got off the plane, got right back on the plane and went. So that's coming up this morning. I got to tell you about my 4th of July, which went well.
Really?
If you don't include the woman calling me an asshole, everything went good. So that's coming up this morning. And,
have you ever had a 4th of July that didn't involve a visit from the Popo, by the way?
And by Popo, you mean the police?
Police, yeah.
I mean, you call them the Popo.
Well, it's a fairly common expression to use to call the police. But, I mean, they always visit you on the 4th of July, right?
Yeah. But yeah. Because they want to say hi.
They're invited, for God's sake.
They're invited. They're
by the neighbors.
It's not an invitation as much as it is a demand by the neighbors.
Right.
So anyway, we got that coming up as well. And the magic of mayhem, the mayhem of concerts, the concert mayhem event of the year. What is it called, Bean? I don't have the paperwork.
I believe, neither do I.
I know the word is mayhem.
Mayhem Festival.
Thank you.
I think there you go, Mayhem Festival. This is with Disturbed and Slipknot and so much more. And the show is also Saturday, and I guess
Sunday.
The deal is...
Sunday, okay.
Sunday, and I guess the deal... We'll wait till we get the paperwork, then we'll tell you about it.
Yeah.
Okay, good idea.
We're going to give away some tickets to some kind of show, and then you qualify for some kind of drawing for some kind of helicopter. That's all I know right now.
Okay.
So we'll do some research and get back to you. Ralph's got the show...
All right, we do have the paperwork now. We're talking about this Mayhem Festival that's this weekend. Mike says Sunday. The paperwork in front of me says Saturday, so you be the judge.
Show up whenever. Just show up sometime this weekend.
Disturbed, Slipknot, Mastodon, a ton of other bands are performing. And at 8 o'clock again this morning, you will win an Xbox 360, a copy of Rock Band, and tickets to this Mayhem Festival. Plus, Friday morning, we do the grand prize drawing. Someone will take a helicopter to the show, kick it backstage, and play Rock Band with the group Disturbed. That's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour this morning right here on the world-famous K-Rock 552. Ralph joins us in studio with the showbiz. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. Love in Hollywood. It ain't easy.
Who broke up?
Drew Barrymore and Justin Long.
Oh, no. I like them as a couple.
They could not be more in our faces with their relationship for the past 6 months.
That's true.
And now it's all over. Oh. So shut up, Drew Barrymore and Justin Long.
I think Drew's kind of flaky. She doesn't seem to stick with anyone for very long, including her various husbands.
Apparently she's cocktailing again, too.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Which
may be part of the problem. People Magazine says, although the pair recently celebrated his birthday together in Michigan, where they're both filming separate projects, her representative has confirmed the split.
Wow.
You are a murderer of love!
Almost a year they've been together, apparently. They started dating in August of last year, so. In Hollywood terms, that was a long, healthy relationship.
Had a golden anniversary.
Cynthia Rodriguez filed for divorce papers yesterday in Miami. She, of course, the
husband. Ralph, before you move on, do you mind if we go back to the Drew Barrymore story just for a second?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Hey, Dwan.
How you doing, guys?
Very good.
Hey,
how are you?
Whoa!
How are you guys talking about? Drew and Justin broke up.
Yeah.
That's right.
I feel bad now.
See, that's why Dwan rules.
Did you break them up,
Dwan? What?
Did you break them up?
Nope.
Well, then why do you feel bad?
You know I met Justin Long a few years ago.
I remember you telling us that story, yeah.
Yeah.
He loves Drew Barrymore, but he wants her to be happy with whoever. He doesn't necessarily need it to be him.
He's so selfless.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
No, hey, Dwan, this means now maybe you have a shot with Drew. Maybe you two can start dating.
I think her and I think Reeve Carney should date Drew Barrymore.
Who's that?
Reeve Carney from the band Carney.
Okay.
All right.
You think he's a good match for her?
I believe so, yes. You know, one of the Carney songs play on K-Rock on Sunday at Lobos Only.
Okay, that's great.
Called Nothing Without You.
Right.
We may be getting a little bit off topic here. But
okay. And I went to high school with all of them.
With all the guys in Carney.
All the guys in Carney, okay. But how does that help you have sex with Drew Barrymore?
I'm not doing that. Just being friends with her.
Just friends.
Okay. Being friends.
Oh,
okay.
Let's talk about UCLA.
All right. Go Bruins.
Okay.
When I say go, you say Bruins. Go.
Bruins.
Bruins.
Bruins. Bruins.
I say UC, you say LA. UC.
LA.
UC.
LA.
All right.
All right. Go Bruins.
Dwan, thank you for calling, my friend. Have a wonderful day, okay?
You too.
All right. Bye-bye now.
I'm not quite sure why we were celebrating UCLA, but there's their shutout.
I love that guy.
Yeah. It is that time of year where the rivalry is hotter than ever, Ralph. You know that.
He's the best.
Maybe tomorrow Dwan can come in and say, go Trojans.
He's the only person that I know that really he finds somebody attractive, is in love with them, and just wants her to be happy with anyone else but him.
Yeah,
now
exactly.
That she's broken up, he's got somebody else for her.
He's just trying to make
he's
her
the
happy, that's all.
All right, sorry to interrupt, but that was...
guileless.
He is guileless. He's just out there just doing the good thing. God bless him. Send him over an In-N-Out Burger when you get a chance, will you? Cynthia Rodriguez filed for divorce against her husband, New York Yankee Alex Rodriguez, yesterday in Miami. Apparently, they've got to take press has taken a look at the filing papers, and she claims he had multiple extramarital affairs.
Yeah.
And claims emotional abandonment by the third baseman. I don't think it's emotional abandonment is the problem. It's penile abandonment, I think, is really the issue here. They're probably there emotionally. It was physically he was off someplace else. She is asking, as you can imagine, for a significant settlement to support what she calls, in her words, their lavish lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
So no word yet on how much he's going to be asking. But keep in mind, he is in... year two, I think, of a 10-year deal where he gets $252 million.
Wow.
I think he's a little further on than that. I think he's a little further on than that, but he's certainly well compensated and will be for a long time.
Yeah, he's got
that's
some
for
dough.
Sure. Lisa, help me understand again, why should she live in the lifestyle that she's become accustomed to with Alex Rodriguez for the rest of her life?
Look, he wouldn't even be a baseball player without
that's
her.
True.
That's true. That's true.
She was his batting coach for many years.
Yes, true. Exactly.
She taught him when he was a teenager how to practice, how to throw,
that's
how to
exactly
bat.
Exactly what
yeah.
I was going to
yeah.
say.
Yeah.
So it's she pretty obvious.
It. What's wrong with you,
it.
Bean?
I think if she worked with Alex's bat and balls a little more often, she wouldn't be in this situation. And Monty Python actor John Cleese also getting a divorce.
My God.
The 69-year-old comedian is breaking up with his third wife, Alice Faye Eichelberger.
Wow.
Cleese said he had to divorce her because her last name is Eichelberger.
You just realized it?
Alice Faye has told friends she is threatening to take John for all she can.
You are a murderer of love!
And he is currently shelling out $153,000 a month to her.
A month? Wow.
That works out to be about $1.8 million a year.
But she deserves that because she's the funny one in the
that's
relationship,
right.
Right, Ralph?
Well, she wrote all those Monty Python sketches.
That's
she,
right.
You know, she was in A Fish Called Wanda. She was very
of
talented.
Course.
And
I think
do
she
you
did
really
any of that.
Bother to get divorced at 69? Really?
Well, he's not dead. he'd like to live some kind of life, I'm sure.
What's he expecting?
Should he just
now,
be miserable
exactly.
till death? Is that the plan?
69.
Yes. And Steve-O's back in the nut bin.
Oh.
What
yeah.
happened?
Really?
Steve-O blogs via MySpace that although he's been clean for 115 days, he is returning to a mental institution because he's suffering from severe depression and horrible mood swings due to prolonged use of cocaine, ketamine, PCP, nitrous oxide.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
I just sit in my house just dialing all the narcotics into my body that I possibly can. Namely, ketamine, nitrous oxide, PCP, cocaine, you know. And I just get all kinds of results.
One of those results is apparently permanent damage to your brain's chemistry.
Oh, no.
Which is causing him severe depression. Horrible mood swings, and he needs some therapy.
Oh, that's.
He said he'll probably be paying for these mistakes for the rest of his life and suggests no one else needs make the same mistakes he's made. So, Kevin, put down the nitrous.
How dare you?
Just for 5 minutes. Just try it.
The point doing the show I'm nitrous. Trying to make with all of this, people, is that I hate drugs.
It's true.
I hate them. And based upon what I have seen, you all don't quite hate them as much as I do.
Well, that's true.
Today's celebrity birthday is Kevin Bacon. Famous Philadelphian.
Yeah, no one cares.
All-around good guy. Apparently he's got a loose foot, though. That's what I've heard.
I have heard that that is true.
He hurt himself right down there in the ankle, apparently. That's what happened to him one time.
That can be painful, too. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. But
you know what it almost did? Almost made his foot loose.
Come on.
Necessary.
This is Bean.
PGC, I still love that song. From Nisi. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose. Embedded is...
What was that?
That was weird.
Bonus tape. What was that all about?
Hidden messages.
That was weird.
Sorry, I have no idea what happened.
Paul's dead.
Andy Fletcher. Hey, I'm sorry.
Kevin Bacon, when was the last time he was in a movie, by the way? He's directing now. He just directed his wife, Kira Sedgwick, in a movie last year called...
Big Eyes.
Baby something baby. Baby got back. I want my baby back ribs.
I don't think it's any of those.
Maybe baby. Maybe baby?
No. He's a good actor, though. He is a good actor. Miss seeing him on the screen. Andy Fletcher, keyboardist for Depeche Mode, is 47 years old today. Billy Crudup from Almost Famous and from other movies that he was in is 40 years old today. Milo Ventimiglia. From Heroes turns 31. Sophia Bush. From One Tree Hill is 26. And singer Beck.
Yep.
Turns 38 years old today and has a new album today.
How about that?
So if you're a Beck fan, go pick up Modern Guilt, the new Beck CD, and help him celebrate his birthday by making him rich.
Remember when Jed the Fish scared the hell out of him?
Sure.
Remember that? That was.
Yeah, I got Beck right here.
I got my headset on.
Your hair looks so good. It's just...
Your hair looks quite nice.
Yeah, but yours is like stirring me right now.
I don't know if that's good.
Poor Beck.
How did Beck not just stand up and say, I got to go?
Because Beck is out there himself in a creative genius way, but he had no idea what Jed was talking about.
Nor has anyone since 1981.
Yeah. 4th of July, Jed showed up at the station in his underwear.
Really?
Excuse me?
Yep. To do his show.
In his tidy whities. Not boxers. Tidy whities.
Just? Those balls are sensational.
Just that? Well, I think he may have had a shirt, but there were no pants.
Where are we going with Jed?
What
is the ultimate? What's the end game?
I
with
don't
Jed,
know.
Do you think?
I don't know.
What's the destination?
Showed up in
on Jed Road. It
was. Anybody mind if I take off my pants?
I don't know.
First it was pajamas.
It was 4th of July in his defense, so there was no one here.
So
showed up in his underwear.
In my pants!
No, not in your pants.
That is tribute to the Founding Fathers?
I'm pretty sure he's trying to get fired. I don't know. I can't imagine under what circumstances you would do that, but...
I think Steve-O needs a roommate.
Yeah.
Ralph Garman to walk the show business.
The VH1 Rock Honors are going to be in town this weekend at UCLA's Pauley Pavilion, honoring The Who this time around with bands like, I don't know, Foo Fighters, Pearl Jam, Incubus. We're going to be giving away tickets in about 10 minutes or so. Can people call? Is it okay if they call now? If they're dying to go to the show, 1-800-520-1067. We won't tell you what it is, but we do have a new game to debut coming up in the next segment here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
You know, there are all kinds of people in this world. There are the super nice doormat, people can walk over them type people that just want to stay out of everybody's way. And then, you know, along the scale, it goes to nice. Mm-hmm. And then it's just, it doesn't get along well with others. And then, you know, being actively a dick, that kind of stuff.
How dare you?
And then there's the hermit and the hates people and nobody can understand them. That's the whole, you know, scale
the spectrum,
of people.
Yes.
There's a woman that I ran into on the 4th of July that is outside all of those. She does not fit into any of those categories.
Really?
She is the, you must be kidding. I can't even get my head around how angry you are, person.
Really?
Like, I can't even understand what it is you're talking about. So it was the 4th of July, and as you know, Omar, you know, at times is able to provide, you know, a sparkler, perhaps.
DJ Omar Khan.
Maybe a sparkler, maybe a, you know, a little, sure, little fireworks, because sure, they're clearly illegal and nobody should do them.
Yeah.
That's my policy, at least.
You're talking about the sparkler, but I thought you sent him you fly him to the Middle East
sparkler
to get actually heavy artillery, is what I understand.
ICBMs.
I mean, I've seen six-figure checks changing hands between you and Omar. What are you talking about, a sparkler?
So anyway, there's this woman, and she's in the neighborhood. I go over to a friend's house who lives on the beach, and we do them on the beach. I'm kind of a fireworks expert. I'm available for parties, you know, bar mitzvahs. I'll show up.
You're a pyromaniac, if that's what you mean.
Outdoor weddings. I'll show up. You know, Angels games, home run. I'll shoot some fireworks. You know what I mean? That's just my specialty.
Uninvited, whatever. No, you'll show up.
Am I wrong about this, Lisa? I kind of feel like fireworks, much like dentistry, is something that's best left to professionals. It just seems like they're going to do it better and safer than you are.
Well, I do feel that way as well.
Maybe safer, but not better. All right, so anyway, this woman in the neighborhood, she's the one who calls the police on us every year.
Mm-hmm.
But we never see her. She's like this hidden evil force in this house two houses over. And we never see her, but she causes all kinds of problems.
Sure.
She calls the police if you're, you know, picking your nose. I mean, there's no limit to how often she calls.
She's sitting there looking out the window constantly?
She crazy.
Oh, okay.
If she were telling this story, by the way, would she have her own scale that would end with a-holes who are flagrantly violating the law in front of her house every year? Is that how she would describe it?
Let's be honest. Fireworks on the 4th of July are sort of like on the level of, say, speeding. Is it illegal? Yeah, of course.
Technically, right.
Does everybody go only 65 on the freeway?
No. Certainly not.
That's ridiculous.
Certainly not.
Since it's 55?
It's whatever it is. Whatever it happens to be at the place. So anyway, we were getting our sparklers ready for the 4th of July celebration, as we do. And we shot off like one bottle rocket. Those are just those little ones that go like that.
Uh-huh.
And we just wanted to kind of make sure that we had everything, the right angle and everything. We're just testing it out. And I swear to God, this woman storms down from her castle of evil. And she's standing right in front of me. And I mean, how tall are you, Lisa?
5'2".
What, really?
Yeah.
Lisa's almost a midget.
I stand up very straight.
Did you guys know Lisa was almost a midget?
I didn't know she was that short.
Wow. Well, that would put this woman at 5 foot.
Okay.
Tiny little woman, and she walked right up to me, and I didn't know who she was because there were a lot of friends around. Everybody was kind of hanging.
Yeah.
She walked right up to me, and she said this, "You're an asshole!"
That was her opening remark?
Yes.
Okay,
that's how she started?
At this point, you have set off
one bottle rocket.
Am I to believe you? One small bottle rocket.
I'll be honest. Nope, I'm telling you right now, by this point, there were three.
Okay.
Three bottle
but
rockets is the truth.
They weren't big.
No, they were tiny.
Okay.
But we've had this problem in the past. She's not a fireworks fan.
You can't be the only one along
not at
the
all.
Entire
all
beach.
All the
Come
way
on.
Along, people are doing it.
What the hell?
I think I'm the one that's closest to her.
Well, yeah.
So I'm trying to process someone right there calling me an asshole because I didn't know what I did yet. I mean, we didn't even start.
Lady, hold off.
Yeah. If you're going to call me that, give me some time. I'll make sure that it's worth your while. But I didn't know who she was. I'd never seen her before, so I was just trying to get my head around. Hey, that's way too much sound effects right there.
Oh, really? Even that's too much, huh?
Nothing at this point. Nothing.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
So she screams.
She's anticipating.
She screams that at me, and I say, I'm sorry, but see, I've been called that a lot in my life, especially in this job, a lot.
And you've earned it, by the way. It hasn't been faint praise. I mean, you have actually earned it.
That's correct, yes. But in this particular case, I didn't know who she was. I didn't know what she was talking about. And my friends and I were all just standing around like, we didn't have any comeback because we didn't understand what was happening right now.
Right.
So she kept yelling, "You're an asshole, you're an asshole, you're an asshole." And I was like, "What are you? Are you angry about the fireworks or something?" And she said, "It's illegal!" And now I know she's talking about the fireworks. Mm-hmm. Now, you know how we have different ways of arguing? You have the argument enders that no one can even fight back against. I'm just saying is one of them. I'm just saying. There's no way to come back to that. She is it's illegal, and she never changes that script. So she would yell, it's illegal, and I would say, yeah, I know, but but it's the 4th of July. Trying to diffuse it. I really was at this point because I was still shocked. It's illegal! And I said, ma'am, I'm aware of that. I know, but it's the 4th of July. You know, it's only going to take about 15 minutes. Everybody is doing it.
We're on the beach.
It's illegal!
Oh, my God.
Now, what do you do with that person?
Drown her.
Because I agreed with her. I was like, yes, ma'am, it is illegal. I was still trying to kind of be nice.
Right.
So she turns to my friend and says, you're an asshole!
Oh, my God.
Now, my friend hasn't really been called that much, doesn't know how to react to it. I kind of find it funny when people are on tilt like that, when they're so far over the top emotionally just crazy. To me, that's like time to poke them with a stick because that's funny.
I think what I might have tried.
It's illegal, is what she would have said no matter what you tried.
I would have said, you're right, and you may not want to be around this in case the police come, so you should go back inside.
Right, and that would have done what for her?
I don't know. I thought maybe she might leave.
It's illegal! She said 100 times.
Jeez.
And finally I said, I know. And then she would yell it again, and I would say, yes, it is. And she would yell it again, and I would go, you're absolutely correct. And she would yell it again. And I would say,
listen. How long could you go on like that?
That's what I was wondering. So finally she stormed upstairs, and she said she's calling the police. So she went up and called the police, and that's when we started really just. Because now we got to get rid of them. Now we got a ton of fireworks, and she's calling the police, and we got to hurry now.
But I can't even imagine the police are responding to calls like that, by the way.
Right back in my face. You're an asshole! I said, pretty sure we established that. Let me guess. It's illegal. It's illegal! Storm back up. I'm calling the police! I said, ma'am, please just call the police then. I don't care. Now we're lighting everything we can find. Sticks of wood, anything. Just throw matches in it. We got to hurry.
Blowing up cars.
So then I decided a different tact. I decided the Kevin and Bean lie tact, which is, these aren't fireworks. I just figured I'd try.
Why not?
Right? First I said, these aren't ours. And that didn't work. And then I said, what are you talking about, fireworks? And we had like rockets and giant, you know, we had like, it was like an arsenal.
Grenade launchers.
We could have really attacked Iran. I swear to God, she came down 5 times.
No kidding.
Screaming at the top of her lungs. It's illegal.
Does she have a message?
It's illegal. All right. I get that. I'm agreeing with you. You are correct. Go someplace else.
I am flagrantly breaking the law, and I'm happy to do it.
At one point, and I also thought, you know, what if I tried to reason with her? I said, you know, so speeding, but do you do that ever? Because, yeah, I know it's illegal, but it's 4th of July, blah, 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 blah. We had fireworks. We had the fire extinguishers. We were really being pretty safe.
Yeah.
Pretty. Keyword. So anyway, she of course screams and screams and screams and calls the police. Calls the police, calls the police, calls the police. And you got to know the police now.
Well, they're going to come out finally.
But you got to know they're being driven crazy by her. Like they cannot possibly take that many calls from one person.
Yeah.
So they don't even show up because they got a lot going on. You know, there's real problems going on, I imagine. So
people setting fires with illegal fireworks.
Yeah,
like,
perhaps, maybe.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. So then we saved, go to the last one. So then we saved some for her, which we like to do. And this is where she's correct. I am an asshole. This is where I'm now living up to her prediction.
What do you mean by you saved some for her?
Well, 2 a.m. right outside her house.
Oh, no.
And these kinds. Those super high-pitched, that is going to drive me out of my mind. And they come in boxes of like 100. You light one fuse, and that goes on for a half hour.
Oh, God.
And I'm underneath her house going. And she comes stomping down, and we're hiding, and she's looking around. She's trying. She would kill. I mean, I think she would kill at this point. And she comes out on her. Stop it! But I'd like to say it's her own fault. Am I right on that?
We can.
I don't
agree.
See how. See how it's her fault.
Nah, we can all agree she was being ridiculous. It was the 4th of July. I did the right thing.
She needs to go somewhere else on the 4th of July because this happens every year,
yes,
right?
It does. And I tried that too. I said, why don't you go someplace else? And she said, there are fireworks everywhere. And I said, exactly. You waited out for 15 minutes. That, of course, did nothing. She kept screaming at me. So... And the best thing is, I saved like 3 or 4 of them. So I got to go back out to my friend's house like once a week, random nights, 2 a.m. I'm going to drive her to the loony bin.
She's going to hang herself and you're going to feel bad.
I will not feel bad. In this particular case, she needs to do that. She really, I'm not kidding.
I'm not death, messing with Kevin anymore.
She needs sweet death. She needs the release.
You're an idiot asshole.
Yes, that's correct.
This is going to go well. We have had much preparation time for this one.
Well, we're not good at new games, and usually they fail miserably when we are prepared.
Right.
This one, Ralph did all the work on, and Bede and I have just now laid eyes on it, so this is not going to go well.
Right. But at least we've got a big intro for Mobar. Here's the deal. Here's the prize. Here's what's up for grabs. A pair of tickets to this weekend's VH1 Rock Honors. It's honoring The Who this time around, which means The Who, the surviving members of The Who, will be there performing live. Also, Foo Fighters will be there doing Who songs. Pearl Jam, Incubus, and more. Flaming Lips are going to be on the bill. It's July 12th at UCLA's Pauley Pavilion. You win the tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you are selected as the grand prize winner in a game that we like to call Hootie Who?
Hootie Who?
Hootie Who.
That's the name of it. Absolutely. Here is a here's an intro for you.
I think under the circumstances, that's about as good as we could have expected for Mobile. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Mario on Pasadena. He is on line one. What's going to happen here is I'm going to ask a question that is going to be who related. You answer the question. You go into the drawing. Lisa will do a grand prize drawing to find out who wins the tickets at the end of the segment. Good morning, Mario.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
All right, listen up. Here's question number one. If you found yourself sharing Mugu Gai Pan with President Hu, what country would you be in?
China.
That is correct. Well done. Didn't think he was going to come up with that.
How many of us had confidence in him on that one?
Not at all. Not even a little bit.
China's correct. You go on the drawing. Hold on, please. Let's go to Ryan and Brea. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good. Thank you.
Listen up. Here's your question to go into the drawing for the tickets. This good-hearted elephant saved the Who Nation when he heard one on a speck. What's the name?
A good-hearted elephant?
That's right. He saved the Who Nation when he heard one on a speck.
Oh, God, I don't know. Zulu?
Oh, no, that's not right.
Yeah,
no.
We all know the popular movie Zulu, Here's a Who. We all know about that. We were looking for Horton, Ryan, is what we wanted.
Horton, Here's a Who.
Yeah, Horton, Here's a Who.
Yeah. Thank you for the big-time movie earlier this year.
Let's go to Hannah in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Listen up. Here's your question. This famous British television series is in the Guinness Book of World Records as the longest-running sci-fi TV show in the world. What's it called?
Doctor Who?
Nice. Yes! Done. Who was in the background that gave you that answer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I heard that. That's all right. Thank you.
She had no idea, by the way.
All right, let's go to Jake in Pasadena. Good morning, Jake.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning, Jake.
Hey, Jake, we're playing for Foo Fighters, Pearl Jam, The Who. It's all going to be this weekend. You'll win the tickets if we call your name in the drawing. Let's see if we can get you into the drawing first. This native of Hawaii and former Miss Teen USA has starred in such movies as The Scorpion King and X-Men 2.
A Who Ling.
Hey, at least he
tried.
At least he tried.
It's the beautiful Kelly Who is the name that we were looking for. She's so exactly. She's unbelievably hot. Thank you for playing.
Hu Ling was close, though. You got to be honest. Mike and Rosemead, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
All right, Mike, we'll ask a couple of more questions here to get you in the drawing. For hilarious fun facts about AIDS, SARS, or the bird flu, contact this international United Nations agency that's known by the acronym WHO. What are they called? What's it stand for?
Here's a clue.
No idea.
The first word starts with W, the second H, the third O.
I have no idea.
Oh, you're going to kick yourself when you hear these words. The World Health Organization is what we're looking for.
Okay, thanks for the call.
You started. So baffled.
Let's try one more.
Another Mike in Newhall. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Mike, listen up. This is a tough one. In 1996, Jim Yethard had a very short stint as the masked WWF wrestler named Who? What is Yethard's better-known wrestling nickname? He's famous, more famous, under another name.
Mankind.
Good guess, but no. The Anvil is what we were looking for this time.
That is a lot harder than China and Horton, by the way.
it is. Why was he known as Who? I missed that plot line. What's that all about? All right, Lisa, I know you got the names in a hat. Let's find out who's going to the show this weekend.
The winner's Mario in Pasadena.
Mario Pasadena was our first contestant.
Oh, my God, really?
Mario?
Awesome.
Mario's the guy that just came up with China out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You are going this weekend. You get to see the Foo Fighters, Pearl Jam, Incubus, and The Who.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you for playing Hootie Who. That's pretty gay, isn't it? That's really gay.
If you're suffering from hair loss, the doctor makes all the difference. Experience what sets Dr. Sword apart. Call 800-242-6900. That's 800-242-6900.
I read a Dr. Sword over the weekend. That's good.
Yeah, what is Dr. Sword?
What is Dr. Sword, Lisa? What is that?
Dr. Sword.
We weren't listening.
Swordmedical.com if you have hair loss.
Hair loss.
He gives you
he
hair.
He can help you.
With his sword?
Oh. With his magic sword.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want that. Okay.
There's an ointment, apparently, that comes out of the sword.
Oh.
I'm Lisa May with Care
Optometrics. It's a conditioner more.
And now they're going to take that back, and I'm going to have to redo
it. Well, they should.
Dr. Sword has never got this much press in his life.
We didn't make up the name Dr. Sword. You did.
If you have a problem with male pattern baldness or hair loss, please go see Dr. Sword.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
Coming up after the news at 7, why Doc is talking about a Burmese hooker. You want to stick around and hear that story? First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Tuesday morning. What's going on?
You know, it's Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are in your stores. So if you want to get the heads up on what you can buy today, here's what's out. Modern Guilt by Beck. Birthday Boy Beck releases his new CD today. You can check that out.
I've heard a couple tracks from that, and it's very good.
Mamma Mia. The movie soundtrack is available today. The film doesn't come out until the 18th, but you can pick up Mamma Mia today to hear Meryl Streep and Pierce Brosnan singing together.
Well, that sounds attractive.
Did you see Mamma Mia on stage? Have you ever seen the Broadway musical Mamma Mia?
I believe I did.
You believe you did.
I think I did with my wife.
I think you did.
I think I did. I don't know.
I know we did.
It's the ABBA thing, right?
Right. Yeah. It's about the chick on the Greek island who's having a wedding, and she invites three dudes who could be her father because her mom was a slut.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that sounds realistic.
Well, you know, before the days before DNA testing.
Yeah, true.
And it's actually very entertaining, and they're making a major motion picture starring Pierce Brosnan, Clive Owen, no, Colin Firth.
Okay. Oh, that's right, yeah.
Meryl Streep, the lead, right? Some hot blonde chick as her daughter, so it's supposed to be real good.
Based on the music of ABBA, if you have not seen ABBA music videos...
The best videos ever?
You have to Google them or YouTube or whatever. They are awful, but so great.
Buy the ABBA Gold DVD. They've got all the videos on there. Like, I don't have it at home.
Just terrible.
Best.
Horrible best, though. Bad
by
scale.
The way, first time in, I don't know, 30 years, all four original members of ABBA were together this week
on
the red carpet of the Stockholm, Sweden premiere of the movie.
How about that? Do they hate each other or something? What's the...
Yeah, they do. Because they are all married in junk, and then they all got divorced in junk, and then they stopped talking.
They made a buttload of money, didn't they?
Oh, so rich.
They had all the money. Well, they got offered $1 billion to reunite for a tour a few years ago.
A billion.
Come and they passed.
On. With a B.
Really?
Yeah.
One of them, and I think it's, it may be Frida, I'm not sure. One of them is a super agoraphobe and almost never leaves her house, and that's part of the problem with getting together. Yeah.
She's afraid of Agora. She will not go to Agora. She is so
afraid. Or Agora Hills, either one.
She travels anywhere, she will end up in Agora. So she's an agoraphobe. Yes.
That's being too
far. And also in the world of CDs, the inevitable rise and liberation of Niggy Tardust comes out today by Saul Williams.
was produced by Trent Reznor, this disc, by the way.
Is that real?
Yes.
That's the best
that is real.
I've ever
title
heard.
Title is The Inevitable Rise and Liberation of Nikki Tardust.
Saul Williams is pretty good. You guys remember that Nike commercial that our friend Charles, the parking lot security guard, that he was? That was a Saul Williams track, in case you're wondering what his music sounds like. That real banging, like kind of Nine Inch Nails-like music.
Yeah, that song was called List of Demand, and that's the one Charles was in.
How about that?
Yeah. So pick up Nikki Tardust when you get your
chance. Oh, man.
DVDs, Jet Li's Fearless comes out today.
I love Jet Li.
Superhero movie. That spoof of all the different superhero movies is out on DVD as well. Stop Loss, the hilarious comedy about guys having to go back to the Iraq War over and over again.
Oh, that is good. That's funny.
The Ruins, the creepy movie about ivy that crawls under your skin. Makes you all weird.
Yeah. I guess so.
Remember that horror movie of the kids go to like Xtapa or something and they're on the pyramids and the vines crawl under their skin?
Sort of.
Does we had the chicken.
We had the girl in.
Does it make them all weird?
It makes them all weird. We had the chick in.
Okay, I don't care.
The spooky little goth chick we had in. Who's in that movie?
Jenna, lived in Salt Lake City or something.
Jenna Malone.
Jenna Malone. That's there you go. Yeah.
And Sleepwalking, produced and starring Charlize Theron. And also co-starring Dennis Hopper. Also available today on DVD. It's excellent. I had a chance to see it.
And hilarious,
yeah. You know, she makes those funny, funny movies about women who get abused and addicted to drugs. And stuff.
Suck it.
And, of course, TV, DVDs today, Fast Lane, the complete series of Fast Lane.
Are you serious?
Today. Yeah.
All three episodes?
You can check out the adventures of Gleek and Nerve.
Ralph, please don't buy that so I can get it for you for your birthday this year.
Okay, I'll hold off on the Fast Lane, the complete series of like Click and Glyph.
Like it's not in his mailbox today.
Schlieg and Slang.
What were their names? You've made fun of their names so much. What were their names really?
Deke and Biff or something like that. Seriously, names that only guys on TV shows have. I think one was Deke.
Deke.
And the other was
Slarb.
I don't know. Psycho Mike is furiously checking the internet now, so we'll have an answer in a second. We'll have an answer in a second. Deacon Scarb.
I forgot that Tiffany Thiessen was in that show.
Yeah, she was their boss.
That's
right. It was Bellamy. It was Ralph Bellamy.
It was Bill Bellamy and Peter Facinelli, right.
Peter Facinelli, that's right.
All right, their names were Deke. Bill was Deke.
Yeah, Bill was Deke.
And Peter was Van.
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 Deke and Van.
Deke and Van.
Hey, Van, let's get the bad guys. Okay, Deke. Let's roll. Deke and Van.
It was Van Ray and Deke Hayes.
Oh, crying out loud.
Deke Hayes.
By the way, our friend Big Boy was in that series, too, if you recall. Remember?
So was Dr. Sword.
If you recall that. He did one special episode. Yeah. Wasn't that J. Abrams? Who's our other pal? McGee show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
LeVar Burton. Wasn't he the creator of Fastlane? LeVar Burton?
That's our friend. All right.
Come on. Speaking of people who hate each other, besides me and Psycho Mike.
And Kevin and Psycho Mike.
And being in Psycho Mike. Vin Diesel and Paul Walker apparently at each other's throats on the set of the next Fast and the Furious movie. The fifth one? What's this called? The Fastest and Even More Furious?
This time they mean it. It's personal.
Vin Diesel didn't even do them all, did he?
Neither did Paul Walker. They're back because apparently they both need the money and the franchise needs a boost in the ass. So
yeah, I think the last one was the Asian one, right? Tokyo or something. Yeah.
Hey. Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. Vin Diesel and Paul Walker are returning to the franchise in this film, but apparently the two actors are butting heads so much on the set that they've had to be actually physically separated several times, and filming had to be stopped because they're fighting so often.
Well, this will go well.
Are
you kidding me? What could they possibly be fighting about?
How could Paul Walker possibly fight with Vin Diesel? Not being murdered. The guy's huge. And a hell of an actor.
He's very good.
Oh, wait a minute.
He's very serious about it, too.
Vin Diesel. How is he not in Fastlane? A name like Vin.
Vin Van and...
Vin Deke. Deke Vin Van. Today's celebrity birthday is Kevin Bacon's 50 years old today. 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. You play that game?
Sure.
Yeah. I'm like 3 degrees away from him.
I'm the only person I know 18 degrees away.
You're further than most. Keyboardist Andy Fletcher of Depeche Mode is 47 years old today. Billy Crudup from Almost Famous and other films is 40. Beck, as we mentioned, celebrates his 38th birthday with his new CD. Milo Ventimiglia from Heroes turns 31. And Sophia Bush.
Oh.
Late bell.
She's way hot.
What was her show?
One Tree Hill.
That's of course right.
And she married the dude from One Tree Hill for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Briefly,
her co-star. Yeah. And then didn't she break up and then keep working
and
on the show?
They had to keep working at it. And they had played love interests on the show, I think. So.
It's a good plan.
That must have been a very
I like Bush.
Kevin, I think it would have been easier for Vin Diesel and Paul Walker to be making out in the set than those two on One Tree Hill. She's 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That is Katy Perry.
Love that song. Less than 1 hour from right now, you can win an Xbox 360 plus Rock Band and tickets to the upcoming Mayhem Festival, which is going to be this Sunday with Disturbed, Slipknot, Mastodon.
Too bad Katy Perry is not on that bill, by the way. She'd go over real big.
She would rule.
And we do a grand prize. That'll be between 8 and 9. Then we do the grand prize drawing on Friday morning to find out who gets to take a helicopter with to the show, just like Kevin, and also kick it backstage with the band Disturbed. That's all on the way from the world-famous K-Rock. Details at K-Rock.com.
I actually did. I did that one time for Coachella. That's the way to go. I need to do that full time.
Yeah,
that's
no
the
kidding.
Best.
It's cool.
All right, you know, we don't get paid to say this, but Bean and I and Lisa are all Mac people.
Mm-hmm.
We all use Macs. We're not. This is not a commercial for it. But you know the commercial that they have for it on TV with is it Justin Long?
Yeah,
Justin Long, Drew Barrymore's recent ex boyfriend who plays the Mac guy, and then some older actor who I apologize, I don't know his name, who plays the PC guy, and they're always. You know, squabbling back and forth about which system is better. There have been very successful commercials for Apple for a number of years.
Here's one of them.
Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC. What are you reading?
Just the Wall Street Journal. It's not... Oh, no. A PC? You know what?
Oh, it's a review of you.
Don't read it.
Oh, it's from Walt Mossberg, one of the most respected technology experts on the planet. Apparently, you're the finest desktop PC on the market at any price. Very nice.
Just one man's opinion.
I actually got a great review this morning, too.
Oh,
and they said I was awesome.
Good for you.
And so we're the same.
Yeah, what was that in?
The awesome computer review weekly journal.
Those are very funny commercials.
They are good. He's younger, hipper. The other guy for Windows, a little older, a little square. And they're always comparing each other. And if you go to krock.com, where is this? Some videos?
In the video section at Kevin and Bean on krock.com.
There are some commercials that we would like to submit for your approval, and that is Psycho Mike mm-hmm. and Doc on the Rock.
Now, how did this happen? We go away, and all of a sudden the kids start doing their own show. How did you and Doc end up making a commercial here, Mike?
I can tell you this before Mike explains that, and that is that, yes, we're Mac people. We're not getting paid to say that, but these are not Mac commercials.
Right.
Yeah, these are not.
They do not put their stamp of approval on it. Mike came up with the idea that perhaps we need to do our own versions that are maybe a little more extreme.
Sure.
Would you say that's accurate?
I mean, yeah, I was watching these Mac commercials with Justin Long during the NBA Finals, and I was thinking to myself, it'd be so funny to take the idea of a younger, hipper guy and the older, square, kind of cotchety old man
mm-hmm.
and to just push it a little further and do a parody. And I thought to myself, who would be a funny, cotchety old man to represent, you know, kind of an outdated dude. And immediately Doc came into my
Doc
head.
Doc on the Rock.
So I asked Doc if he'd be willing to do it. He was on board, and that's the way it went. You know,
So you made these commercials, and you can see them at krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, videos. Here you go.
Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
You know, PC, I've got a new secure protection program that allows me to communicate with Vista without any of the worries.
You know, I have a Burmese hooker. Let's be on her chest.
Are you just trying to divert attention away from the fact that people have had so many problems with Vista?
No, just bragging. You ever tried a Cleveland steamer? It's awesome.
Come on.
Maybe Macs have a little bit more respect for women.
Maybe you're a
real mature. Sounds like the last efforts of a desperate man, considering how much Mac sales have been up in the last quarter.
Listen to me, you smug sucker. I was in the Mekong Delta, calling in airstrikes and breathing napalm while you were swimming around in your daddy's sack. I do not need your advice. I do not need your input. Why don't you go listen to some indie rock in your Prius, you fairy?
Did I mention the new plugins for QuickTime?
Oh, hippies. I need a burrito.
I don't know what I mean a burrito means, but he does take his cane and literally wreck Psycho Mike in the stomach.
Yeah,
it does.
That was not
method
acting. By the
way,
not like a fake.
I had to do a couple takes, and I came into the office after we filmed it, and Dave was like, "What the heck is wrong with your arm?" And it was just bruised, and I said, "Well, Doc's hit me with a cane 7 times.
And I'd like to say, by the way, of course, I love Doc, and I've always respected and admired Doc very much. It's Kevin who hates him, but he really has mad skills. He is hilarious in this
awesome
commercial.
He's awesome. He really was so willing to be down for our tomfoolery. I was kind of worried that you know, some of the stuff I wrote down would be too extreme for him. He wasn't worried.
Dude, everything he said was true.
I know. and he was so like fun to work with. He had it was really cool working with Doc.
So then Mike, who's also not getting paid, right? You're not getting paid for this either, right?
No.
So Mike, who's also not getting paid for this, thinks to himself, and this is why I like Mike. You know what? That didn't go far enough.
Yeah.
You know the problem with that one? Didn't go far enough. Cleveland steamer? Not enough.
Burmese hooker? Come on.
So I actually thought to myself, look, while we got this whole thing set up to the whiteout room and everything, it took a lot of time to prep it. Yeah. I said, look, we got this all set up. Let's try another one.
Okay.
Glow, I'm a Mac.
I'm a PC.
What's with that thing?
I just made my own whole movie.
Well, it's funny. I did the same thing this weekend on iMovie. I filmed it, edited it, and boom, I uploaded it like that.
I just gave two chicks a cup and some laxative.
Well, I actually have my iPhone right here. You can watch mine. I can watch yours. Maybe we could compare.
All right.
My first.
Cute. Yeah. But here, have a look at mine.
So Mike looks at his video.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Starts choking.
Oh! I'm going to be sick.
Runs from the room.
Bitches will do anything for coke.
Oh, come on.
Wait, you're sure this isn't authorized by Apple?
I'm pretty sure.
It might be later.
Well. All right.
Come
all right.
on.
All right. Listen, I can't have three people talking to me at the same time. What am I supposed to focus on?
Well, then how do you explain the other two times today when the song has been completely over?
There needs to be a clock or something that counts down to when the song's over.
Here's how it works.
Lights. That would be good.
It's the Kevin Abid Show on K-Rock 106.7, KROQ, blah, 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 724. Here's how it works. Psycho Mike says, Kevin's song's over in a minute, and Kevin sits there. And then Kevin's song's over in 30 seconds, and Kevin's now eating. Kevin's song's over in 15 seconds. Kevin's now looking at TMZ.com to see what's up. And then the song runs out, and he jumps up and leaps for the microphone. That's the pattern. Why? Why?
Just that's – don't question the magic.
Okay. That's all. Hey, it's DJ Omar Khan, ladies and gentlemen.
DJ Omar Khan.
Joining us in the studios this morning. Hey, Omar, welcome back from Europe, my friend.
What's happening? Thanks.
Omar got a chance to go to Europe. And
All of it.
He decided...
Pretty much.
He decided before he left that he may never get back, so he's going to have to cram in as much as possible. Now,
That's what she said.
It's not like you go to Italy and stay... How many days did you go total?
14.
14 days.
Right.
So it's not like you can go to Italy for 7 days and enjoy it and then see something. You have to really move if you're going to see it all.
Yeah.
And Omar decided to take the amazing race. Yeah. And
it was amazing.
Tell us how it started. Tell us how it went.
We got there.
Where's there?
Amsterdam first.
Amsterdam.
Netherlands, right.
Okay.
So we spent 2 days there.
Wow. Right. 2 days?
2 days in Amsterdam. That's Amsterdam.
Sure.
You know? We got to soak up the red light district.
Did you go to the bars that have the
Went to the
weed?
Bars. I had the weed. Ate some magic mushrooms
yes.
that I wasn't aware that they sold.
No,
and they were, they were quite magical.
They sell a lot, really?
Yeah, okay. It was good times, and I enjoyed some of their baked goods.
Sure.
You know, mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
You know what's funny about Amsterdam? You go through just a random hotel, any random hotel, and it smells heavily of weed.
Yeah, and you know what I found strange is that they call them coffee shops.
They do, yeah.
I was like, dude, just call them pot shops. What the hell's wrong with you?
I don't even know if they serve coffee.
Yeah, exactly. And
they got hash and everything else.
And almost got beat up there.
Why?
Because I was trying to...
Because you're an a-hole when you get high.
No. Yeah, exactly, right?
I ran over by a car.
I was trying to take a picture in the red light district.
No.
I didn't know you weren't allowed to.
No.
And I saw the banana bar.
Yes.
And I was like, come on with that.
Did you go in?
I didn't go in.
What's wrong with you?
I had my fiance. She was really digging the banana bar, you know, feel.
We were talking about this yesterday, but for years we tell people when they go to Amsterdam, you've got to go to the banana bar. It is every bit what you think it is, and it's the most awful, ugly, just hideous, depressing,
gross,
ugly women doing gross, ugly things, and you have to sit really close, and it is awful.
So that's why you wanted me going?
No, so we tell everybody, I would think that as much as we've talked about it, you got to step in and look.
Yeah, you know, I had a couple of 18-year-old kids with us, and, you know, my fiance, they weren't going to, you know, dig that scene.
So wait, the 18-year-olds are in the red light district?
Oh, yeah.
So that's okay.
Yeah, well, I think you could be 16 and drink there.
The girls or the pimps come running out after you and will break your camera if they get a hold of you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, I barely got my camera up, and this big Samoan goes, hey, 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 h
And I'm just like, what? Where the hell is that coming from, right?
I think we found out from our author that was in yesterday from Sexcetera that it's because a lot of these girls are doing this on the side, right? They have legitimate jobs and families that may not know that they're in the red light district, and that's why they restrict photos so much.
Yeah, they want them to get them out. Yeah, it makes sense. But yeah, so that dude almost beat me up, and right. I'm just like, dude, okay. You know, so, you know, I cruised through the red light district, and man, I mean, big old honeys everywhere. It was crazy. Old and big honeys just everywhere in the windows. It was retarded.
They are not the hottest women in the world.
No. So then we got on the bus, and then we cruised on to Germany. And,
DJ Omar Khan.
We cruised on to Germany when it went to
That's how I want to see Germany is via bus, I'll tell you that.
Right. So, I mean, but you know what we did is we learned to... You party really hard before we had a bus trip,
mm-hmm.
and then we just crashed out on the bus.
Oh, I see. So kind of hungover or whatever. Okay.
Absolutely. So we party hard, crashed on the bus. We went to Heidelberg. We spent a day in Heidelberg. We went to Munich, which Munich was amazing. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm glad I did it because, you know, we got to see all the touristy stuff that I don't think I would normally do.
Right. You know, yeah, you wouldn't. If you go there, you wouldn't go to most of that.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so it's kind of cool to say that I did it and I was there. I mean, we saw so many, like, cathedrals and churches that, I mean, you know, I don't even know the names of what we saw.
Yeah, you start forgetting.
Different castles and palaces and stuff, which was cool. You know, if somebody will bring it in, you know, in a conversation and say, yeah, I was there or whatever.
Yeah, sure. Just to say you were there. They go, what do you remember? And you go, nothing.
I don't know. It was just a blur.
I was there for an hour and a half. You had to get back on the bus.
Yeah, and then we went to Austria, which no joke, we're in Austria for 2 days. I mean, 2 hours.
DJ Omar Khan.
Whoa, wait a minute. You took a bus?
We took a bus.
From Germany to Austria.
Germany to Austria. Which
you were
I guess
there
really
for
close.
How long?
2 hours.
But they
only
let,
they let us off to get lunch in Austria Strudel? For 2 hours. Yeah, that was the shortest one. We were
joking about that.
It's a small country.
2 hours?
We were there for 2 hours. Just in time for to see some building that had a gold roof. That's all I remember.
Omar's the wrong guy for the recap.
We had some lunch and then we took off.
Right, before you move on, did you bring any items with you from Amsterdam for the rest of the trip?
I did.
That's what I figured.
I did. All right. And then from there we went to Switzerland, which was
DJ Omar Khan.
Beautiful in Switzerland. We spent 2 days there. Went to Lucerne Valley. We went up Mount Pilatus and we went tobogganing. And
oh,
we,
you went tobogganing?
Yeah, it was amazing. it was so much fun.
Okay.
We went to Italy, Venice. Amazing place.
Wow.
I got to go back to Venice. Venice was
right,
just
because you were there for like 15 minutes.
We, you know, went to the Louvre. No, actually that's in France. Yeah, I can't keep everything straight.
To Paris, yeah.
Went to Verona.
Okay.
Went to Lake there. Then
how
we,
did you go to all these places?
We spent about a day in each place, and we
in each
honestly
country, not in
yeah,
each city.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. No. I mean, in Italy, we
in
were there for
cities.
2 days,
you are,
so
okay.
We were there for Venice and then Verona, and we were literally getting about 5 hours of sleep.
Right.
You
of
know,
course.
5 hours of sleep, and then we went to France. We spent a day in a city called Colmar.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so you didn't even go to Rome when you were in Italy?
We didn't go. We didn't have a chance.
What's
to
in Rome,
Rome.
Bean?
That's true. No, it's just you there. That's true.
Right. Then we went to Paris, and you know, we saw the touristy Eiffel Tower
right.
and everything. And Paris blows.
It kind of does, doesn't it?
Yeah, I hated Paris. Everything
they
smelled
hated you.
Like urine, and people. The one lady actually told me off. I was sitting down. I was having an espresso. I didn't do anything. I was sitting down having an espresso with about four of people from my group, and we're just talking in English. And she's all stupid Americano.
Yeah.
It's just like, and she got up and left. It's left what she was eating and just took off.
Everybody
oh, wow.
makes jokes about the French people, but they really, if you speak English, they really do hate.
They have a thing about their language as being the only language in the world, and I don't know where that comes from, but yeah, you're right. They're pretty violent about that.
Really ticked me off. I don't know what was going on.
Did your fiance, though, did she just melt in Paris? Like, was she so gooey over that city? Because the girls seemed to love it there.
She felt the exact same way I did because the subway smelled like urine.
Yeah.
Everybody smelled like bad BO.
Yeah.
I mean, the food was horrible. We
really?
Had a really bad experience.
But at least the food is super expensive.
Yeah, everything was like triple what we pay here.
It's
crazy.
Is it Evian that's from the French Alps?
Uh-huh.
Because it costs more in France than it does. It's like $7 for one of those tiny little shot glasses.
Right there.
That's what I was yelling.
Oh, God.
And then the tour bus guy said, get back on the bus. Let's go.
We went back on the bus, and then we went to England. And I fell in love with London.
You did?
Oh, my God. It's such amazing
was
scene.
It, what is it that you liked there?
Oh, did you take the channel, by the way?
We did. We took
cool.
We took the channel.
Oh, cool.
I've never driven from France to Britain. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
I don't know what the channel is. Someone help me with the channel.
It goes under the water.
Under the water.
Right.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, I got you. You used to have to fly back and forth, but now you can drive. So right. I haven't done that. It's been around for a few years, but that's awesome. So you loved London, though.
London for, you know, I'm into, like, you know, the dance music scene.
Right.
And right there, it's so huge. Mm-hmm. They got, like, 3 mega clubs. And what I ended up doing is, like, one of the nights where we were staying, it was kind of like the outer London. So to take the underground, it would take... about an hour to get to where the hotel was.
And who's got that kind of talent?
And the underground closes at like about 11:30. So, oh. So what me and my buddy stayed in London, and met up with the group like at noon the next day. So we didn't get any sleep.
Nice.
Yeah, so we just partied hard. And I mean, the clubs don't start going off there till about 3 a.m.
That's the way it is in most of Europe.
Yeah, it was like 3 a.m. So we partied till 8 a.m. And I mean, just everything, the vibe, the people, the shopping, everybody was so nice and pleasant there. It was insane. So after London, we took off home, and from London, we flew to Houston. In Houston, we had a 3-hour layover to go into L.A., but I didn't get to go to L.A. because I got stuck in customs. Passing through customs, I was talking to an officer, and so...
Did a little kid in the line say,
"Daddy, why does Omar have a towel on his head?"
Pretty much. It could have been like that, but it was so surreal because, honestly, I hand this guy my passport, and before, like, he starts to ask, you know, the standard question, "Did you bring any fruit into the..." And he looks at me, so in the middle of it, he's all, "Sir, please..." Please stand over there. Please stand over, sir.
Just he looked at your name.
No, yeah.
In
exactly.
his defense, your name is Omar freaking Khan. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Freaking is not in it, but yeah. Omar Khan.
Okay.
It's a Pakistani name.
Born and raised here.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, look at me.
Yeah, but I don't trust him. Do you, Lisa?
I don't trust him.
I talked to him for 5 minutes.
They sized you up accurately and pulled you out.
Okay.
So you're saying you were stuck in customs and the whole rest of the group left for L.A.?
Yeah, well, my fiance, she was there kind of like worried or whatever. So she stuck around and started freaking out. But then officer told her what was going on, that they're going to hold him up to like 4 hours. So she was just like, well, you know, she's got to go with the group. You know,
of course.
She's one of the group leaders.
She made the right call.
Right? So she takes off.
So you're in Houston by yourself.
I'm in Houston by myself, but check this out. It's so weird. So I walk into this office, and there's a sea of my brothers and sisters, just Middle Eastern, just people everywhere, you know?
Over here is Harold, and over there is Kumar.
Totally.
Who says racial profiling is dead?
Right? And, I mean, the most hardcore Taliban-looking guys are way in effect there. I mean, I was just like, I was scared in there. I thought the time was going to be there.
Did you look at him and go, is the time now, my brothers?
Yeah. I wanted to find out. I needed a clock. And I was sitting there in about 10 minutes, right? And, you know, from time to time, the officer come out with passports and call out names, right? The officer comes out, and he's all like, you know, he's like, Omar, and he's having a problem, like, reading the last name, you know? So I get up, you know, I figure it's me.
Right.
And then he says some other last name, and I look around, there's about 5 people standing
up. DJ Omar Khan.
There's about 5 Omars there.
There's a bunch of Omars.
Yeah. And before I actually got to leave, there was a Mrs. Constant next to me.
Really?
I swear to God.
Wow.
I swear to God.
So what do they do? They go through everything?
They check
you for bombs?
For me, they didn't do anything. They ran my passport. They helped me for 2 hours, ran my passport. They called me up when it was my time.
Cavity search?
Nothing.
But did they say why, Omar? Did they say why?
I asked them. They couldn't release any information. They're all, sir, we have our rules and regulations. We're not allowed to say why we do this.
So they don't even say at the beginning when the guy says you got to go over there.
They
nothing.
Don't say anything. You're not allowed to use your cell phone. You're not allowed to talk to anybody in the room.
Excellent.
You can't have any conversations.
They're doing good work.
When you go to the bathroom, you got to leave all your bags. And the bathrooms also work as cavity search places and stuff.
So while you're going to the bathroom, there's somebody else with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy in there.
When was the last time you flew before this trip?
It was about 3 years ago, and it was only a flight to Vegas.
I'm wondering if somehow there's an Omar Khan on the no-fly list, and that's what they were addressing.
There might be, because I do remember about a half hour when I was sitting there, they were going to try to get a guy who was on the no-fly list off of it in Houston only.
Right.
Right.
So I hear it's just impossible to get off that list once
you're
on.
That guy.
We talked to people. Remember when we had people call in and say somebody with your name was on the no-fly list?
Including little kids and the whole deal, yeah.
Yeah, so that was a big pain in the ass.
Well, there's like 7 million Omar Khans.
Yeah, so I missed my flight. So I have to catch another one, and they're all like, "You'll catch the later one." And then there was like, "There's no later ones going into LAX."
So you had to spend the night.
No, I wanted to get home, so I flew into San Diego and had Cassie's parents pick me up in San Diego and drove out. So instead of getting home at 7:30, I got home at 2:30 in the morning.
Oh. At least you weren't tired after 2 weeks of nonstop partying in Europe, by the way.
Yeah, but I popped one of those things that I got from Amsterdam. It was all good.
Yeah. You got any more of those?
Yeah, I do.
Fantastic. First of all, I'm very excited to report that Ozzy Osbourne back on TV.
While we're talking about rock royalty, the Ozman continues to soldier on, still making records, apparently coming back to TV in 2009. The company that produces American Idol is doing a new variety show with Ozzy and Sharon and Jack and Kelly and their 14 dogs. I don't know what the deal is, but we thought we got to find out more about this. Let's get the Ozman back on the phone. I think Ozzy joins us now on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Mr. Osbourne.
Good morning, Kevin Bean.
How are you doing today?
It's us.
I was just thinking about you.
You were thinking about us?
Yes.
Why?
How come?
Because they said you were on the phone.
Right.
I said, it's Kevin Bean. I thought about you.
Okay. Ozzy, with all due respect, how old a man are you now, if you know?
I'm 30.
I don't think you're...
I don't think that's it.
Pretty sure you're not 30.
31?
No.
No.
32?
I would guess.
60s?
You gotta be 60, right, Ozzy?
34.
Okay, we're not gonna get anywhere with this. All right, never mind about that question. I withdraw the question, Ozzy.
Now, Ozzy, this TV show, ABC.
How old am I? I was older than dirt.
Older than dirt. All right. This TV show, according to the article that we're reading, ABC, CBS, and NBC also all offered to.
Yeah, everybody wanted us to do the show for them.
Okay.
They want us on the networks.
Now, tell us what this is. It's some kind of variety show, kind of like Sábado Gigante or whatever that Spanish.
Sábado Gigante, right?
Yeah, that one.
Right.
Sort of like that.
You speak worse than I do.
I do, yeah. Spanish is not my first language. But tell us about your show. How's it going to work?
I'll be doing, it's a variety show.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be performing music and also we'll be doing... comedy sketches.
Okay, let's hold you right there. So you're going to be singing. That's great.
Yeah.
Comedy.
But
comedy sketches.
Yeah, that's my new thing. I'm a comedian.
How's that going to work exactly, those comedy?
Well, I'll play different characters.
Like what?
Like a pizza delivery guy. is your pizza? Hello, did you order a pizza?
And then
the now, who else is going to be in? Is it going to be Sharon?
Yeah, let's play. Let's do a sketch.
Okay.
Hello, did you order a pizza?
Yes, I ordered a pizza. Thank you.
here's your pizza.
Well, thank you. Here's your $20.
Oh, do you have anything smaller? I don't have change.
Okay, here's two tens.
Do you have anything smaller than that?
What are those sound effects?
It's comedy
effects. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't have anything smaller, Ozzy. She has to come with you to deliver pizza.
Yes, make change for me.
Okay.
Maybe sketches like that. What? Oh, there's no pizza in the box. Oh!
Now, not just Sharon, but also Jack and Kelly.
Oh, yeah, we'll be doing sketches together.
Okay.
Like, maybe Jack and I will run a butcher shop, and you come in, and you're a customer. Hello, can I get you some meat today?
Yes, we'd like meat, please. How about some hamburger?
Sorry, we're all out of meat.
But it's a meat shop, sir.
See, that's why it's funny.
I say.
Sharon,
hey, you know,
we're all out of meat. You're not going to...
There's no real meat. It's just a sketch.
Sorry, I was in the store.
You can't really do any of these food sketches with Kelly around, though. You're aware of that, right, Ozzy?
Well, maybe we can have Kelly be Weight Watchers.
Weight Watchers?
So, Kelly, let's get on the scale. we've broken all the scales.
You know,
Kelly,
I am
so fat.
I wasn't looking forward to this show, but I think now that we've talked to Ozzy, I'm in.
Yay, Kelly's fat!
Ralph, how does it feel now that you're in the valley to pay attention to a different part of the weather forecast?
Yeah. I cringe every time I know she's getting towards temperatures.
70s
yeah.
at the beaches, 80s downtown, and then you go, nope, nope, not me, not me.
Well, you know, the thing that separates me from the rest of the staff, apparently here on the Kevin and Bean Show, is that I have air conditioning.
I know. What's up with that?
Yes, I keep my apartment at 92 degrees at all times. I just don't wear any clothes. It's wonderful.
Madness, woman. Madness.
78.
That's hot. That's freaking hot.
Not to me. It's fine.
Oh, it's horrible.
I make up for it. I make up for Lisa's.
You all make up for it. I don't know why I bother.
73 is about as high as I can go.
73? Yeah.
The governor says 78 is where your thermostat should be. That's
Let
what
me check out
on.
Schwarzenegger's thermostat and see what he's rocking these days. I guarantee you it's not 78.
Well,
I
guarantee you're right.
I have a message for the governor.
Suck it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right.
Gene Simmons from the band Kiss, and he's got a new book out, too. He'll be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. First, Ralph's got the showbiz report for a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Congratulations to Matthew McConaughey and Camilla Alves. They have a baby boy. Matthew and his girlfriend of 2 years welcomed a son last night into the world. The baby, who is the first child for both, was born at 6:22 p.m. yesterday, and they couldn't be happier. Still no word yet on what his name is, but I'm still pulling for Bud Weiser McConaughey. Go with his cousin Miller Lite McConaughey.
Which is true, by the way.
Yeah. His brother Rooster, Matthew's brother Rooster McConaughey, named his son Miller Lite, middle name Lite, L-Y-T-E.
That is hard
McConaughey.
To believe.
That's quite a family.
So how could it not be Bud, middle name Weiser McConaughey?
Gotta be.
That's sure. what I'm guessing. Or Heine Kin McConaughey or Am Stell.
I think we get it.
McConaughey.
Wait, these are all names of beers that you're suggesting for the kids' name.
Guinness.
Just Guinness.
Stout McConaughey.
Okay, good.
Stella.
I think we get it.
All right.
Artois
McConaughey.
I don't know what that is.
That's a beer, too.
Okay.
Stella Artois. She's hot, by the way, this Camilla Alves.
No kidding.
Yeah, she's really, really hot.
Think the kid had to work out yet?
Have you seen the video of McConaughey in Nicaragua?
Uh-uh.
Just partying hardy. Marty?
Yeah, I've seen photos.
Woo! Boy, does he dance like a white dude. But he drinks like a white dude, too. And that's all that matters. Daniel Craig, the newest James Bond. Apparently, the ladies will get to see a lot more of him in his next film, Quantum of Solace.
We saw almost all of him in the last
one. How much do they need to see?
According to insiders, they had to go back and reshoot several scenes with Daniel wearing a lot less clothing because producers thought there wasn't enough skin in this newest version to satisfy the female audiences like Lisa, who are looking to see more of Daniel in Speedos and whatnot. How flimsy is that? Oh, James Bond isn't naked enough for the ladies.
Frankly, it gives me the willies.
Just look at that butt. There. That is a tight butt.
There used to be a day.
I know, Ralph.
Back in the day, Bond movies weren't for the ladies. We didn't care what the ladies thought of the Bond movies. Bond movies were for the fellas. You could go see your Sex in the City, and us guys would go see Bond. Now we got to placate the ladies by stripping down Daniel Craig.
Yeah, poor baby.
He's dreamy. That plush head of hair, his Adonis-like physique. Oh, what I'd do for one serving of that man-ass.
Ooh, flimsy is what he is. Let's get the taste of that out of our mouths by talking some football, shall we?
Yes.
Now that we are in a time during the year when there is no professional sport going on, we need to look forward to the fall.
Major League Baseball will be returning. Baseball every night.
I don't know if you're a fan like I am of Inside the NFL, the long-running HBO series. You know, HBO canceled it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they got rid of it. So it's moved to Showtime. Showtime has announced they are picking up Inside the NFL, and they've got new co-hosts on that show, which is a drag, because I always liked Costas on that
Costas
show.
Costas is great.
He's the best.
Peter King was always good on there, Chris Collinsworth. Chris Collinsworth will be returning, along with Phil Simms and James Brown will be the new hosts of Inside
James
the
Brown
NFL.
James Brown was dead, Ralph.
No,
didn't they bury
not
him?
That James Brown. It's the sportscaster James Brown. In more NFL-related news, Variety says that NBC will use Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann as the co-hosts of Football Night in America, which is their
interesting
their Sunday night game, I guess.
They can't get away from each other, can they, those two?
They can. They're back together again after their ESPN days. So here's your football broadcasting news.
Speaking of football, we talk from time to time. If we had all the money in the world, if we were, you know, big-time lottery winners and we had the opportunity to buy a sports franchise, I think a lot of guys would. The Steelers are up for sale.
What? Pittsburgh Steelers
are up for sale, yeah.
And haven't they been in the Rooney family for like 90 years?
Apparently they're selling them.
Wow.
How'd you like to own that?
Yeah.
I think that'd
you
be
would.
Cool.
Ralph would dismantle them.
Yeah, absolutely. I take it. I move to Studio City. Studio City Steelers. Come on. How great does that sound? You could play right there at that park and Moore Park in Tahunga.
Sure.
There are sell out every game. I bet you that.
There's room
for
like
200 fans.
That's right. There aren't a lot of opportunities to own a professional sports franchise. They don't come along very often. So I thought that was noteworthy.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Speaking of noteworthy, you know, I got a service that encapsulates a lot of the news stories for me, so I can kind of peruse through them and pick out the ones that catch my interest.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Couldn't help but notice today that the guy who runs this service received an angry email from one of his other readers.
Oh, tell me it's not Bean.
Bean from K-Rock.
Oh, come on.
That wasn't an angry email that I sent him. It was just a heads up.
Is it some kind of grammar?
Larry Harmon was not the first Bozo the Clown. Just the most famous. And the most dead, I guess. Writes Bean of Kevin and
Bean
Show. Because Bozo died last week or something. And I guess this poor bastard happened to write that the first Bozo the Clown died and Bean had to...
correct
write him
him
a strongly letter.
Here's
strongly
the
worded letter.
Here's the
and correct him. He was not the first Bozo the Clown. Now we can all sleep well tonight knowing that's been correct.
Here's the difference between you and me and Bean. This is the first difference is we don't know that.
Right.
And the second difference is we don't care if we realize that.
That's right. So. Or if you read it and say, oh, that's fun. This guy thought Larry Hammond was worth it because I remember there's a guy who played him before. Anyway, honey, what's for dinner?
Yep.
That's how we roll.
Nope.
No.
Guys, I think I'm providing...
Dear guy who makes the news.
I'm going to the computer and I'm going to fire off an email.
Larry Hammond was not the first Bozo.
I think the service is better if there are contributors who keep it accurate. That's all I'm saying for everybody. Because now next time Bozo comes up, he won't make that same mistake. And maybe some poor schmuck DJ won't say it on the air because they read his column. That's all I'm saying.
Radio stations around the world right now are correcting their Bozo coverage.
You know, we reported Bozo was dead the first one.
We apologize to you, our listening audience, by mistakenly reporting that Larry Harmon was, in fact, the first Bozo. We stand corrected and apologize deeply. That will never, ever happen again.
But nothing would ever be accurate if there weren't people, though, to try to keep track and try to make it so. It doesn't just automatically end up accurate.
But
that's
what
all
line, where do you draw the line of which things that just don't really need correcting?
He doesn't have a line.
Is there any minutia that really, let it slide? Not
I let
big
it slide
deal.
When the great Pinto Colvig is not being denied his rightful place as the original Bozo.
Being majors and minors, you know that. It has to be super unimportant.
Today's celebrity birthday is Kevin Bacon. Very talented actor, is 50 years old today. He's been acting forever.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, now you're getting an email. He hasn't been acting forever technically.
He's not technically been acting forever. I believe his first major role was in Animal House, directed by...
I am not a winner.
No, that's for sure.
That's very true.
Kevin Bacon's 50 years old today. Andy Fletcher of Depeche Mode is 47 years old. Billy Crudup from Almost Famous is 40. Beck celebrates his birthday today, his 38th, by dropping his new CD, Modern Guilt, available in stores everywhere. Milo Ventimiglia from Heroes and Gilmore Girls is 31, and actress Sophia Bush of One Tree Hill celebrates her 26th birthday today. I'm Ralph Donovan.
Cannons, people. Big old boobies.
I walk the showbiz beat.
The Kevin Beach on K-Rock 106.7 K-Rock Q.
That's Ralph Sullivan.
Got to put in your headphones. Otherwise, you're not going to hear
me. Can't hear me.
Sorry, dude.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, back in the studio is the world-famous K-Rock mega rock star, businessman, marketing genius. I'm talking here, Gene. I'm talking here.
He's reading from his book.
I'm giving you a big intro here, Gene.
Can't hear? Oh, there you go.
There you go. They turned me off.
All right. Can we try? Can you start the music again, Kevin? Can I try again with a big intro?
Because you start completely over if you want. Here we go.
Gene screwed it up.
Of course.
Ladies and gentlemen, back to the studio is the world-famous K-Rock mega rock star, businessman, marketing genius, and self-proclaimed free spirit. That's what it says right here in the press release. Gene Simmons is back with a new book called Ladies of the Night. We'll tell you in a moment how you can meet Mr. Simmons and get your copy autographed tonight at a book signing in Westwood. Good morning, Gene. Welcome back.
Good morning. I have to tell you, every time I've come here, I have to give you kudos, which is not a candy bar.
For?
How do you do it? My God, my face doesn't start working until 1 p.m. I just...
Yeah, but that's your schedule. It's your regular schedule. Our regular schedule is like this.
And that's just what you're used to. That's
stop making sense.
We go to bed at like 4 p.m.
Although, Gene, I will tell you, your face may not be working, but when you walk into our studio, I swear to God, your penis is a divining rod right toward Lisa May. You maul her every time you come here.
You have to be nice to women. All women, all sizes, all ages, all shapes. As soon as you see one, how do the French say it? Say it, mount her.
That's essentially what happened when I walked
Yes,
in.
He mounted right. you.
And I put on my Birka sweater.
Oh, no, I can get under
that. Doesn't matter.
No.
He can get under that. That's not going to keep Gene Simmons out.
No, you can see the bumps and stuff. And the bumps, Gene. You know, there's a musical tone to that bump.
That's what you hear when you see
she's got a little lip gloss and she's smiling. She says, look, even at this hour, I can get.
I know.
I can get you some of that.
Gene, before we talk about the book, which is called Ladies of the Night, and it is about the history of prostitution.
Wrong word. See, wrong.
No, words, not history. I'm sorry.
Words are everything. It's okay. Not history.
I agree.
I object to the word prostitute.
I will allow it.
I see.
I think it demeans the ideal and the idea that women are, some of them anyway, certainly willing to empower themselves. And what goes on behind closed doors, besides being a terrific Charlie Ritz song on Epic Records a long time ago.
Nicely done.
What goes on behind closed doors really is nobody's business. And the book is, in fact, a historical and personal perspective of the oldest profession in the world. But they're ladies of the night, all of them.
Ladies of the night.
Whether you agree with them or not, they're all ladies.
Well, that's the problem with these hours, then. If they're ladies of the night, we're out.
That's right.
We've got to work now.
No, they can bring some muffins in the morning, too.
Okay. All right.
Do you object to any – I mean, is whores acceptable, or is it only – they must only be referred to as ladies of the night?
You can call a woman a whore only with her permission. You can call her a bitch. See, if you call a woman bitch without her permission – it's an insult in the highest degree.
Right.
But if she's willing to play, bitch is a playful, even complimentary. Sit on daddy's knee, bitch. If she's okay with that.
Who was he looking at when he said that specifically?
I don't know.
All right.
Not me.
Mike's hoping it was him.
It's all about consenting adults, and I think women deserve your respect, and then they'll put out.
Now, we've talked about this for a lot in the past. The idea that Ladies of the Night has been made illegal by the government. I think it's ridiculous.
I think we all kind of think
it's absurd.
Bean has been obsessed with this. Yeah. I mean, it seems he's on.
Well, I give you the following, and I urge you to have the discussion, because what I'm trying to do with the book, besides, gee, I had an awfully good time. Look how nice gold-tipped it is. All tips should be gold, right, ladies?
Sure.
Look at that. It's a very classy coffee table book on Simmons Books, Phoenix Books, our joint venture. And tonight I'll be doing, speaking of potato chips, a book signing in Westwood. And yes, you can give us the information if you like.
Okay. It's at the Borders Bookstore at 1360 Westwood Boulevard in Westwood. Mr. Simmons will be there tonight at 7 o'clock signing copies of the book called Ladies of the Night, which, by the way, came out last month and is available everywhere. You can buy it anywhere, including online at all the regular outlets. But tonight at 7 at the Borders in Westwood.
Gee, I think it's coming out today. But
is it?
Yeah, that's what I was
told.
All right,
then it's out everywhere today.
Okay.
But the point I was going to make was that 15-year-old freckle-faced kid takes out the girl next door. At the end of the night, what he's really thinking about is maybe she'll let me kiss her or go to first base.
Sure.
Okay? He will take her out. He'll pay. He'll buy her dinner. He'll lavish her with gifts, buy her flowers. Everything costs money. Then at some point, he may decide to get married. He will pay for the wedding ceremony, for the insurance, for the thing.
Ring.
It's called a... You know, there are dowries, and during the marriage he'll pay, and then when they get divorced, he will pay. That's called alimony, by and large. And my contention, and whether it's a girlfriend or a stranger or you're trying to impress a girl, it is not uncommon in the animal kingdom. The male will continually put food in front of the female, like the praying mantis, so that while she's eating he can mount her. But of course, if she finishes before he's done, she will turn around and eat his head off.
Then you bite his head off, right?
Because the gift wasn't big enough. So tell me if this is true. Two guys are talking, two girls are talking.
Okay.
A guy says to his friend, I've got a blind date for you. So his friend naturally says, what does she look like? That's fair, right?
Right.
Two girls are talking. I've got a blind date. Really? What does he do?
Ah.
So true.
Are you staring at my lips?
So you're saying that all... So you're saying that all women are ladies of the night,
one way
or the other?
No.
One way or the other?
I think that no matter what you think about women, housewives, your girlfriend, anybody, strippers, ladies of the night, they should be entitled to make their own decisions about their own life. Life should be a menu. Don't look at somebody else's life choices. If you don't want it, don't do it.
I agree.
But the history of it is fascinating. Go to page 52 if you don't mind.
All right, we need to take a break.
Okay, then
we'll
come
stick
back.
Around. All right, Gene Simmons is here. The new book is out today. It's called Ladies of the Night. You can meet him in Westwood tonight, and we will have Gene Simmons is in the studio. He's got a book out called Ladies of the Night, and he's going to be signing it tonight at 7 o'clock at Borders Books in Westwood on Westwood Boulevard.
And if you guys have just tuned in, Ladies of the Night is a historical perspective of the oldest profession in the world. It's, you know, imagine somewhere in the caves of Eastern Europe at the dawn of man. This is like chapter one. And one of the first alpha male females gets up, and it's freezing cold outside because the winters, it was the Ice Age. And she looks at her male counterpart, probably called Ugg, before language, before culture, before currency, before religion, before anything.
Before kiss, even, if you can believe that.
That's a long time ago. And she says, to him, or words to that effect, Ugg, get your hairy butt outside, risk life and limb, get me some of that delicious mastodon meat, and if you bring me back a big enough piece, I'll trade you some of mine for some of yours. Then and there, before currency, civilization, and religion, the first job and the first sign of civilization, the first spark of intelligence came into it, and it was sex. But the monetization of sex, it was not just, let's have sex.
Right.
It was like, here's the conditional notions by which I'm willing to have sex with you,
sure,
says the female.
Sure.
And that's self-empowerment. That's my contention. And it goes all the way through the brothels of Rome, the geishas of Japan, even to the New Testament. The most important woman in the New Testament is a very nice Jewish woman who happened to work the trade, Mary Magdalene, who walked right behind Rabbi Yeshua ben Yosef, otherwise known as Jesus Christ.
Okay.
But Christ is not his name. Mom and Dad weren't called Mr. and Mrs. Christ. That's a Latin title. And behind every great man, there's a great woman, comes from the Mary Magdalene walking behind Jesus, which was a sign, by the way, to the public that she was his wife. But that's another discussion for another
time.
Did you have to do a lot of research, or is that all?
No. It's enormous amounts of research.
Okay.
Julie McCarron is a terrific co-writer, co-researcher in the book, who did a lot of the stuff. And if you go to page 52, what's astonishing is that when you visit some of the old brothels, and they continue today, obviously, don't kid yourself, you will see on page 52 of the book actual coinage you could get. You would trade, either a slave or a cow or whatever you had as an exchange, and you'd get these coins. These are Roman coins that are in the museums, especially in Italy, by the way. And on one side is the amount of the coin. On the other side is literally a visual pictorial of what it is you're getting. One is bent over, reaching for the soul.
Like, it's sex positions, a man and a woman in this specific sex position on each coin.
Right.
So you go, this is what I want?
Right, exactly.
And that's what it costs you.
Because
the fewer coins you have, the fatter the woman you get, right? You get the most coins for the tiniest woman.
Well, sometimes I like big women.
Well, there you go.
All right, let me ask you this before, because we do have Julie from Pasadena who we desperately want to talk to, and we'll get to in a moment. But just for the record, and this may be a ridiculous question because you're Gene Simmons and you've got the Polaroids, but you've never paid for sex. Am I right? I mean, conventional way that we would assume for prostitution.
No, not in the conventional
way. You've never been to a hooker and paid.
No, but don't kid yourself. The other way is much more expensive. When you go out with a girl and take her out on dates, that's much more expensive. A lady of the night is relatively an inexpensive way of not having to figure out whether you have anything in common or if she has her mother's hips or what. You don't have to cuddle. I mean, if you just have the primal urge to merge, she should be there to fulfill that physical need. You're not.
What do you think about these guys like Elliot Spitzer was one who was recently in the news, former governor of New York. The money that he was paying for hookers, I mean, thousands and thousands of dollars an hour. Can you get your head around that?
Well, yes, because
is anyone worth $4,000 an hour?
Yes, your wife. Ask her.
That's a smart answer.
Yeah. Ask your wife. See what she'll tell you.
All right. We need to take another break, but I do want to get Julie's question on, and then we'll come back and get some answers. Plus, you can call us if you'd like to. Julie in Pasadena. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Kevin and Bean?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, no, I was just talking to your phone operator, and I was just, because it's due to personal experience right now, it's not generally a question. I just kind of disagree with legalizing prostitution. Maybe it might help, you know, the whole industry by, you know, keeping track of it and keeping track of the diseases and stuff. But, you know, I'm going through a personal thing with my cousin that's been in jail for the last 4 years because he's been picking up prostitutes. And, you know, they're trying to say that he kidnapped them and it was against their will and he wasn't.
Oh, but that's another.
No, that's a whole other thing, isn't it?
If it were legalized, though, it sounds like he wouldn't have been arrested for any of it because it would have been against the law.
I just want to point out that in a lot of places around the world, it is. Now, the book does not take the tone and does not push a point of view. I want the discussion to happen. First and foremost, it's a historical overview going all the way to the dawn of civilization, all the way to modern girls who I interview, by the way, at the end, and all of them end their personal interview with, can you guess? I'm worth it. But,
sure.
But if you go to Las Vegas, you can do that. If you can, you know, the red light district in Amsterdam and so on. But in this country, there is a dark cloud over women who would prefer to be upfront about it. They want whether it's a sugar daddy, somebody who takes care of me. I want a man to take care of me. That's prostitution. You're calling it a more poetic idea, and I'm all for it. I think what goes on behind closed doors between consenting adults, whether the man wants to give her cash, gifts, a box of chocolates, or just take her out to dinner, is between them. And she will like him more and be more than willing to be, quote, friendly.
Right.
The more he showers her with gifts and affection. And gifts, as soon as you put a dollar down on the table for chocolates, dinner, or something else, I challenge you to engage in the discussion. It's another form of paying for it.
All right. So 1-800-520-1067 is the number if you have some thoughts on that. Gene Simmons is here. Ladies of the Night is the book. He's going to be in Westwood tonight at 7, and we'll take your calls next. 106.7 K-Rock. KROQ, Kevin Abincho, 843. Gene Simmons in the studio. New book, Ladies of the Night, and he's going to be signing it tonight at 7 o'clock at the Borders Books in Westwood at 1360 Westwood Boulevard.
A lot of pictures in the book, Gene. I hope I haven't seen my copy yet, but I'm hoping with this topic there must be.
It is, as everybody in the studio can tell you, a very lush coffee table. Lisa, what does it look like?
It's beautiful. It's got gold
trim on
all around the pages.
Nice, soft.
Yeah.
How much do you pay for gold trim while we're talking about the hookers? Come on.
That's a whole different thing.
Well, you know.
1-800-520-1067 is the telephone number if you'd like to speak to Mr. Simmons on this topic. Perhaps you disagree. Perhaps you think prostitution should not be legal. We'd be interested in hearing about that.
Even though I do want to engage people in the nature, are you for, are you against, it's fine. We can have that discussion. The book, however, is a beautiful coffee table book that is a historical overview, geishas of Japan, the New Testament, Mary Magdalene, the nature mm-hmm. of women. And in a lot of the world, historically, it was an art form. The courtesans of Europe held court right alongside the kings and queens of Europe. They held positions of power. I don't mean those kinds of positions. Settle down now. But also were not unmarried women. The unmarried women of the court were that. They were paid in jewelry. They were lavished by the highest people. And likewise, the call girls of Park Avenue in New York City and the courtesans of Europe and the geishas of Japan all have art. They're charming, they're well-versed, well-educated, and can physically and mentally take you to places that perhaps your wife can't.
The other thing that I think is interesting is that you're not really saying it should definitely be this way. You're just saying people should be able to choose whatever they want.
Women should, not men. It's none of a guy's business what a woman wants. You know, if she decides she wants to empower herself and she looks at sex differently than you do, a lot of people look at sex as love and family and so on. That's fine. And nobody can tell you, why do you do it that way? Because that's your choice in life. However, if a woman says, look, I'm not going to make all that much typing on a computer. I want to make 10 grand a day or more. You can. So, by the way, if I was a woman, I'd like that option.
Sure.
Yeah. Gene, laws change very slowly in this country. We've certainly seen that with the drug laws and others. Do you ever see a day where America will not be so uptight, where prostitution might have a chance at being legalized? or decriminalized even?
It is happening more and more in Las Vegas, for instance. You can go to certain areas, and it is legal. By the way, I don't agree with lumping drugs and prostitutes and wrecked and killed somebody.
Well, that's true. Well, I don't know if that's true, but Lisa made a guy wreck one time, just so you know.
He did hit a telephone pole. That's true.
I am all for keeping all kinds of behavior legal behind closed doors.
Okay.
But if you bring your business outside, the law should be able to come down and squash you. If you're drunk in public, if you're high in public, if stuff like that. Likewise, if you engage in sex in public, I think there are,
standards
limits.
Of behavior.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Behind closed doors, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to Samson in Los Angeles. I can't believe Samson, God bless him for listening to the Kevin Amede Show. He's about to call Gene Simmons for marital advice. This is what I love about this dude. Samson, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, Jeannie there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Kevin and Bean.
Hi.
Well, my question is I'm wondering if possibly prostitution can be an answer to keeping a healthy marriage. I mean, like you were saying earlier.
Well, you don't have to go farther than that. Lest you continue your delusional life. Until you got married, or until one gets married, you are the master of your own domain. Let's call it for what it is. Once you get married, she's the boss. Okay?
Sure, sure.
What time do I buckle my shoelaces? What time do I do that? You got to check with her, because at certain point in the daytime, you're going to close your eyes and go to sleep. Can you say snip, snip? Yeah. So it's not about.
He's going to John Bob at me.
It's all about the woman. And she's her blueprint is not going to stand for you looking at other women. She doesn't want you to look at other women. She certainly doesn't want you to climb on other women. And if you're going to buy or pay another woman, that crosses the line. But by the way, if you find one or two or ten, because you could be Muslim and have four wives.
Sure.
By the way, if you do that and she's okay with it, hey. It's your choice. But up until then, it's her choice. And that's what the book is really all about.
It should
be up to a woman to decide for herself how she wants to lead life.
Okay.
Thank you for the call, Samson. We appreciate it. Let's talk to Bill in Thousand Oaks. He's down on line 8 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Bill, you're on with Gene Simmons. Go ahead.
Hey, Gene. I was curious, how did you do the research on your book?
Good
was
question.
The first one?
Good question. First of all, I hit the books. There's an awful lot of information out there. You can do wonderful research. There are some wonderful public domain pieces of art that are available throughout the museums of the world. And then at the end of the book, so it's New Testament, it's the Quran, it's the Old Testament, prostitutes run around like nuts. And one of our guys here at the Kevin and Bean Show mentioned that you can go into one of the old brothels of Pompeii that they uncovered, and penises are lining up like glowing this way out signs on the way in.
Like sidewalks, you can follow them.
It's very direct.
That's right. Well,
shouldn't they put vaginas there instead, though, really?
There you go.
Well, I mean,
they don't point.
Well. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Lisa, for that pearl of wisdom. They don't point. No, that should be that should be the entrance.
Oh, exactly. All right, good.
Thank you.
That's good. And then you interviewed women. You were starting to say at the end of the book, you actually interviewed working girls today.
That's exactly right. And one was married,
okay,
and happily, and then decided she wanted different things out of life. She wanted to be sexual all the time, wanted to be a sex object. She didn't want to be appreciated for her mind. So she went and got accoutrement. She had surgical, blah, 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 and whatever it is. And it's not anybody's business, yours or mine, what such psychological framework she's in. If she's happy or not, that's
as long as she puts out, we don't really care if she screwed up, right?
Well, we can all judge, but it's difficult to validate your judgments while you're sitting and judging another human being. These women come from all walks of life, and you'll see Lisa will take a quick gander.
Okay.
Not a goose, but a gander at the photos of these women. They're attractive.
Mm-hmm.
They're self-sufficient. They're not.
But the
looking...
one thing they have in common, though, Gene, is they're all dead on the inside. Am I right?
No.
He's saying he doesn't care.
No, I think, you know what? You would be surprised at how charming. The most successful ladies of the night, by the way, have the ability to engage in conversation, are well-read. The Mayflower madams of the world are Vassar College graduates, have degrees, and simply, one, enjoy sex, two, don't abide by your puritanical points of views about marriage, And most importantly, they want to make more money than you do.
Do they have do you have phone numbers on these girls here?
I do.
This picture here?
Hey, Gene, let me ask this question, and I don't think I've ever asked you this before. You've been so outspoken over the years on our show and elsewhere about how anti-marriage you are, how you don't think it's a good idea
to get
married.
That's not fair.
You don't think that's true?
No, because that's a misrepresentation. I'll say it for the record again.
Okay.
I don't want to get married.
Not good for you.
Yes, okay. Of course. Right. But if you want to get married, and if you ask me, I'll try to dissuade you, but ultimately you have
Why do you think 90%+ of us do get married? I believe
that's a wrong statistic. Something like half of us do, straight people, and within 2 or 3 years, half of those get divorced. That's not counting the ones that engage in activities outside of marriage that aren't caught.
I would have guessed it would be way higher than 50% get married.
That's in across America.
It is higher than that.
In America.
But why do you think so many of us do? What is the ideal that we're all attempting to
grab? Well,
the way
men are built is actually faulty. When the blood rushes out of that one head to the other head, we will do all sorts of stupid things. Now, you know, look, answer me this question honestly, okay? God appears to all men at the same time because he can do that. He's God, and he says to each individual guy, I can make you happy blissfully, eternally, for the rest of your life in the arms of one woman, or I can make you eternally and equally as happy, no more, no less, in the arms of 1,000 women. What will man say?
I don't know. I'm thinking.
Kevin's wife does listen to the show, so perhaps he maybe best not answer
the
that.
Question.
No, I would imagine it would be thousands, of course.
Why? Because it's the same amount of happiness.
I think it's the way we're built.
That's correct. Biologically, there's no other reason why God or whoever imbued you with the ability, not the ability, you don't have a choice. You will make hundreds of millions of sperm every day. There just isn't any other reason.
The guys do have to fight that nature to stay married and monogamous.
And that's why women have very sharp elbows, so that when you look at that piece of wonderful flesh walking by, she will elbow you like a spear going into your side. That's why their elbows are sharp. She does not want you to look at the other woman.
I wish we were not out of time, but it always goes fast when Gene Simmons is in the studio. The book is out now, as of today, called Ladies of the Night. This is what? This is your third book. Is that right, Gene?
The other two were New York Times and L.A. Times bestsellers. This one's shaping up to be a monster. At the same time, by the way, Kiss is on a worldwide two-year monster tour. We already went and played Australia, New Zealand. The first show was in front of about 80,000 people in Melbourne. Just came back 2 weeks ago from Europe, where we played stadiums across the world, and we are coming to America. One of the few shows we're doing this year in America is in front of 200,000 people at Sturgis at the foot of Mount Rushmore. That's August the 4th. Hey, if you want to find out more info, check out GeneSimmons.com. You'll find out about our books.
Yeah, you've burned a lot of us throughout the years with all that farewell tour BS, I'll tell you that.
That's right.
And you know what? You've got us to pony up for a lot of those tickets.
And there's going to be 10 more farewell tours.
I'm sure there will.
Get your tickets now.
That's not a surprise. Tonight at the Borders Bookstore at 1360 Westwood Boulevard in Westwood. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. Signing copies of the new book. Gene Simmons, everybody. Stop by K-Rock here.
Thanks.
Good to see you, Gene.
Thank you. This is time for the Ralph Showbiz Bee. What's going on, Ralph?
Congratulations to Matthew McConaughey and Camilla Alves. They have a boy who's born yesterday around 6 o'clock in the evening here in Los Angeles. No official word yet on the baby's name, but rumors have it that Matthew is naming the child Bongwater McConaughey.
That would be awesome, by
Bong, first name Water, middle name, last name McConaughey. So congratulations to little Bongi.
Bongi?
Bongi is how we call him around the playground.
How's he going to be as a dad? He doesn't seem to be much of a stay-at-home kind of dude.
I think he'll be fine, because by all accounts, since she's been pregnant, he's been really a good boy. A minor flare-up in Nicaragua, but come on.
just dancing and drinking.
Just drinking and dancing. Who hasn't done that?
Sure.
Hell, Kevin was doing that while his wife was giving birth. He was in Nicaragua dancing and drinking, so come on. McConaughey's not going to be too bad. Speaking of happy relationships, Drew Barrymore and her boyfriend Justin Long. Oh, wait a minute. I should have read this further. They just split up.
Oops.
I thought they were doing so well.
Yeah.
They've been seeing each other since last August. However, her representative has confirmed the fact that they are now no longer dating, and it's all over. It's all over between Drew and Justin.
That's sad.
It is sad.
Well,
nobody's calling.
Love in Hollywood. It ain't easy.
Who broke up?
Drew Barrymore and Justin Long.
Oh, no.
No, that's good. That's good. That's just what we wanted.
Oh,
just in case you missed the story.
Wait, who are we talking about?
With other voices. Just us doing an impression of ourselves talking about that.
That was good.
That was a good.
You want to hear a repeat of that same thing again?
No, I somehow think really. It's Mike's fault. I'm not sure how.
I was hoping that maybe Dwan would call in to talk about it because I know he
loves, loves. He loves Drew Barrymore.
Loves Drew Barrymore. I thought
Wouldn't
maybe we had
that
him on
have
the
been
phone.
Cool?
I thought maybe we'd have him on the phone, but what do I know? I don't know nothing.
He would hear that story and then he would call.
That's what
Is there
think.
Any chance we have him?
Do we have him on the line?
Hey, Dwan.
How you doing, guys?
Very good.
Hey,
how are you?
Whoa! I heard you guys talking about Drew and Justin broke up.
Yeah.
That's right.
I felt bad now.
See, that's
did
why
you break
Dwan
him up,
rules.
Dwan?
What?
Did you break him up?
Nope.
Well, then why do you feel bad?
You know, I met Justin Long a few years ago.
I remember you telling us that story, yeah.
Yeah.
He loves Drew Barrymore, but he wants her to be happy with whoever. He doesn't necessarily need it to be him.
He's so selfless.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
You know, Dwan, this means now maybe you have a shot with Drew. Maybe you two can start dating.
I think Reeve Carney should date Drew Barrymore.
Who's that?
Reeve Carney from the band Carney.
Okay.
All right.
You think he's a good match for her?
I believe so, yes. You know, one of the Carney songs play on K-Rock on Sunday at Logos Only.
Okay, that's great.
Called Nothing Without You.
Right.
We may be getting a little bit Carney. Off topic here. But
okay. And I went to high school with all of them.
With all the guys in Carney.
All the guys in Carney, okay.
Oh.
How does that help you have sex with Drew Barrymore?
I'm not doing that. Just being friends with her.
Just friends.
Okay. Being friends.
Oh,
okay.
Let's talk about UCLA.
All right. Go Bruins.
Okay.
What's I say go, you say Bruins. Go.
Bruins.
Bruins.
Go. Bruins.
I say UC, you say LA. UC.
LA.
UC.
LA.
All right.
All right.
Go Bruins. Dwan, thank you for calling, my friend. Have a wonderful day, okay?
You too.
All right. Bye-bye now.
How about that?
He's amazing.
I'm not sure why we just did the UCLA chant, but all right.
That's timely this time of year.
Yeah. I'm good with it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kevin Bacon's 50 years old today. Keyboardist Andy Fletcher of Depeche Mode celebrates his 47th birthday. Billy Crudup. Crudup.
Crudup.
Crudup.
Crudup.
Crudup.
Right.
Is 40 years old. He was an Almost Famous. He did a movie also with Ewan McGregor, directed by Tim Burton, called Big Fish.
Oh,
yes.
Yes.
I really,
good
really movie.
Liked that movie. Beck celebrates his 38th birthday today. He's also got a new CD in stores called Modern Guilt. Milo Ventimiglia from Heroes turns 31. Actress Sophia Bush. Who we dig the most from One Tree Hill. She's 26.
I, too, am a big fan of vagina.
Aren't we all? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Here's what I like about us. We come back from vacation and we literally have to start as if we've never done this job before. That's what I like about us.
We keep
really?
A
lot of mistakes. All right, me.
I thought we were sharper than ever. Hey, I don't think we congratulated K-Rock Lister Chris Lammy from Mission Viejo. Must be a friend of Kevin's. He won last hour the Xbox 360, also the Rock Band, and tickets to this weekend's Mayhem Festival. That, of course, with Slipknot, Mastodon, Disturbed, and more. He is also eligible for the grand prize drawing we do on Friday to take a helicopter ride to the show and kick it backstage with the band Disturbed. Your next chance is going to be at noon today, between noon and 1 o'clock. You'll have a chance to win and qualify for all that good stuff from K-Rock.
We have a friend. Oh, I shouldn't say friend. We have an acquaintance
mm-hmm.
that we can't vouch for on any level. And his name is Doto.
And, that guy. What would you need him for?
And he's strange, and we like to talk to him from time to time. There are a lot of times when his emails scare us just a bit, like the time he emailed us about having a gun.
Right.
And that's why we started doing our Cribs series, because Psycho Mike went over to his house to search it and make sure he didn't have a gun.
Hey, since he's out of the country and not listening, we can speak freely.
Okay, okay, all right.
What is going on with him, Mike? You've spent a fair amount of time with Doto. Is he mentally challenged, or is he just hyperactive? Has got the ADD, or what's his actual problem?
It's a soup of all of the above.
Doto is mentally handicapped in some way.
I think so too, right?
There's
learning
no doubt
disability?
About it. I don't know if it's just a small learning disability, if he has full-fledged, even mild retardation, but there's something definitely. He's mentally handicapped.
But here's the part that's not funny. He does have enough of a realization to understand that people are treating him differently. So he kind of knows that he does. Right. And so he interprets every negative thing as being a, you know, an unfair reaction to that.
Right.
Whether it's getting a job, getting into school, whatever it may be.
Anything that he doesn't get,
yeah,
that doesn't go his way, makes him angry. And it makes him think that people are
out to get him.
Discriminating.
Yeah, discriminating, right. Yeah.
And I think he has some deep-seated rage about his lot in life as well.
No!
And it seems like he's always this close to really just busting a seam and just going crazy, like going postal on people. And that's why we bring this up, because and while we do it while he's out of the country not listening, is because for some reason he's latched on to me as the guy he needs to vent to.
Let me think. Crazy people email Crazy Bean. Yeah, it makes sense.
I get sometimes 20 emails in a day from Dotel, okay? It's not usually that bad, but every day I get two or three, but sometimes it's even more than that. And lately he's out of the country somewhere in Asia, and he's been writing me just feverishly. And I keep writing back to him and saying, Doto, we want to talk to you on the air. And he never responds to that. He never gives me a phone number. He never tells me why he can or can't talk to us. But he does continue to send the emails. And they're really stacking up. And there may be an intervention necessary.
Well, he scared us again. And so Bean always forwards Doto's emails to Mike, because Mike enjoys them as much as anybody. And Mike does a good Doto impression. So Mike has now some of the emails that he's been sending to us. And we're going to hear as as if Doto were saying.
It's hard. I'm going to read them verbatim and with the type of inflection they would need with the given punctuation.
He is not grammatically correct in every way.
Saturday, June 28th. Bean, I made it clear, church member, that I might do something which will they never which would forget. I made it clear, with internet, technology, we live in small world, I could find people if needed. They took it very serious and do not take as joke. These days, period, dough.
Okay, so
that's a perfect example of the kind of email that he sends me almost every hour.
Is that nonsense, or is he talking about doing something church will never forget? That sounds like it's, you know, murder or something.
Yeah.
It sounds like a threat.
So 10 minutes later, Bean writes, Doe, before you do anything you might regret, let us talk to you when we get back from vacation. Are you in the States?
Here's what I like about Bean. Is Doto's going to do something the church will never forget. And Bean says, yeah, we're on vacation, but we'll talk to you in 2 weeks, if you don't mind.
Are you ready for his response to Bean?
Absolutely. Now, remember, Bean is asking Doto with every one of these, when can we talk to you? We want to get you on the phone.
Bean, I'm Bali for days. I've controlled my cool by watching Hard to Kill by Steven Seagal. Doe.
He loves Steven Seagal movies, but he calls him Cigar.
And by the way, no response at all to my question, which is, are you in America and can we talk to you?
Well, that should do it, Bean says. When do you return to America?
I'm Bali.
Let's get back to the 4th of July. Bean, happy 4th. Doing like barbecue? If I told you that I had attacked someone with a martial art weapon this week, and I did plan it, do you take it very funny?
Okay. Now, the reason he says that is because he has emailed us before, and obviously you can't understand what he really means, but one of his emails really scared us about how he beat up a guy outside a bar, and we said, and might have killed him, and we said, no, that is not the least bit funny. You tell us you're kidding, and he ended up saying, I was kidding, I was joking, blah,
blah,
blah.
Well, this email should put out the fires of your worry.
Okay.
This came 10 minutes later after the one I just read.
Okay.
Bean, if someone makes fun of me because of disability, let's say I assault them with a weapon.
Let's say.
Since I have learning disability, would I be exempt from law? Since I'm graduate school, let's say I went to court because I committed a crime. Would I have hard time convincing people that I am retarded or dummy? In my case, do you think anyone going to convince I'm retard? Attorneys, anything? To get their client off the hook.
Okay.
That's
premeditated.
That's not it?
That's just what ifs.
Just what ifs. Okay.
Yeah.
So he didn't do anything. He's just what if.
But see, that's the kind of email that would be very damaging in the event of an actual a crime and trial, because clearly it's premeditated. He's already planning his defense before he commits the crime.
Can I answer the question, too? Is it possible to convince people that he is retarded? I think the answer is a resounding yes.
Yes. So let's get to today.
All right.
Bean says, hey, are you back in America? Seriously. I'll be back in a few weeks. Need some babes, man.
Need some Babs, man, by the way, is what it actually
says. I did not
says.
Do anything stupid. I was being a jerk because I had bad week, to be honest. I did not get Alex's message.
Which is, she was trying to get him on the phone. Okay, so basically, again, we're worried. He says, I was just kidding. I was in a bad mood. Nothing happened. I kept right. my temper.
This came,
which we hope is true. Yeah.
This came with no response from Bean. This came this morning during the show.
Okay.
Bean, good news. In April, I weigh 223 pounds. That's kind of a lot. Now I'm down to 200. My goal, get down 180. I and have. Period, period, period. Waist 33. I eat salad and lots of protein fruits and stay away junk food. At least I do not have spent money for personal trainer right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Well, that settles it. That settles it. That's the information we were looking for right there.
Remember we used to do Ask Doto? We would have listeners call up with questions that they had, and Doto would give them an answer.
Oh, yeah.
And it always involved food.
Yep. German chocolate cake, yes. Flan, or Steven Cigar.
No, seriously, what is going on with you?
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan.
Right.
It has a lot of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And it tastes less fattening because it's European dessert. And then I just like some of the syrup, flan syrup.
Okay, that settles it then.
All right, thank you.
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
I'm always confused by this song. Is it over now, or do I let
no,
him?
No,
shut up. Do I let him?
Okay, now it's over.
Now.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
We have a couple of lines open. Maybe Spencer ran everybody off. If you want to get in on Kevin and Bean's What It Do, Nephew, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. And today you get on the air, you want a pair of passes to an outstanding event upcoming this weekend. It's the Maloof Money Cup at the OC Fairgrounds, the world's greatest skateboarding competition. And we've got details at KROQ.com on how you can be the grand prize winner of the best seat in the house. We heard about that yesterday, by the way. That's seeing the competition from the air, basically.
Some kind of a tower that they put in the middle, and you sit there by yourself like you're on a throne.
It's like a flagpole.
I want
a flagpole sitter.
All right, let's begin with Mike in Ontario. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What to do?
What to do, nephew? What to do, baby?
What to do, Mike?
Going on.
I've seen some ghetto ice cream trucks, but this thing topped it off. Sitting here driving down, I see a 1988 Toyota Corolla car. Has the ice cream stickers all over the car. Has a little ice chest in the back with a big speaker mounted on top playing ice cream music.
Wow.
I wonder if that's a real ice cream guy or if it's just, you know. Yeah, exactly.
Just a pedophile.
It is the strangest thing.
I know. Well, look, you know, things are tough all over for gas. I can't imagine you can drive a big truck around anymore and make any money selling ice cream.
That's
you had a
true.
Downsize.
You get a lot
better.
It's
going to be like Prius ice cream truck soon.
You got to go back and get ice cream a lot, but I guess
I'm going on about 8 cones. They have a, are they doing this in Los Angeles? Like you see cabs, but they have Prius taxi cabs now in Seattle. That's the hot new thing. More and more of them are becoming Priuses.
I don't think so. Yeah, but you don't see a cab very often here at all.
Right,
anyway.
Right.
All right, let's go to Tom in Fullerton. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, how's it going? What to do, nephew? What to do, Lisa Mack?
What to do?
Hey, I had to call in and tell you guys about George Michael making fun of Dr. Phil at his concert.
My wife went to that show.
Did she?
The Forum?
Yes, it was at the Forum.
My wife went to that show. I was playing poker, and she called and told me that he was making fun of Dr. Phil. What happened?
It was hilarious. My girlfriend called me the day of and said we had front row tickets to George Michael. And it was George Michael's birthday on that night. So
okay.
It was just crazy. And we went, and there was a little pause in the concert. And he goes, I just want to let everybody know that Dr. Phil is in the house tonight. And the whole place just started booing like crazy.
I love that.
Oh, my God.
And George Michael goes, no, hear me out. You know, it looks like his wife is just having a whale of a time. And, you know, she's just enjoying herself. But Dr. Phil, it's not hard to spot him out because he's the only man in here just with a giant scowl on his face.
And he started mocking how poor a time Dr. Phil is having, how he seems angry, not having any fun.
And it was like, you know, it was like a catwalk, and we looked directly across from us, and he's just sitting there, just stone-faced, just with his arms crossed, just looking like he wanted to kill himself. And George Michael just was relentless. He wouldn't let him be, and he was like, you know, it seems like you got some issues, Dr. Phil. You should probably talk to somebody about that.
That's funny.
It was awesome.
I think more people should do that. Every place Dr. Phil goes, they should point him out from stage and mock him.
Especially if he's scowling at a performance.
Yeah.
George Michael's got a real... Sorry.
George Michael has what?
Has what?
A great sense of humor. Did you see him on the season finale of Extras, that show Ricky Gervais?
Yes. Yes.
Where he played himself waiting on the gay park bench to have anonymous gay sex in the park and just sitting there next to Ricky Gervais. No, this is the best place over there. I'll sit over there. That's the best place to find them. It's hilarious.
He's a funny dude.
Let's say good morning to Eric in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
Morning.
Eric.
What'd it do?
Nothing much. So spending the night at my at the beach, and my girlfriend decided that she wanted to have sex on the beach.
Oh,
and,
excellent.
So you ordered her one?
Oh, yeah. I ordered two. And so we end up going out on the beach and decide that we want to have it on the back of the... on the back of the lifeguard tower.
Oh, no, about you half, didn't.
It was amazing. But about halfway through, the lifeguard comes out of the tower.
And did he say,
yeah, Eric?
Did he say,
of course he said, yeah, too.
All right, I can't take that story anymore, but thank you for the call.
How did that guy get a girlfriend? That's what I wanted to know.
How did he get on our show?
All right, let's go to Connor in Agoura Hills. Good morning, Connor.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
You guys aren't going to believe me about this story, but...
All right, thanks for calling.
I was driving by a park in Woodland Hills, and they're setting up a fairground, it looks like.
Yeah.
And I just randomly drive by, and I see a midget clown riding a unicycle through the park.
That's how you know it's a party.
That's right.
That's pretty sweet.
Midget clown, good enough, but he's riding a unicycle. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
Did you stop and take pictures and all that crap?
I gave it a little honk.
Excellent.
Yeah, it gave me a wave. It made my day.
Well, he's a midget clown. He's there to make you feel better.
That guy needs better days.
All right. Let's take one more. Let's talk to Polina. She's in West Hills on the Kevin and Sean K-Rock. Hey, Polina, what it do?
What it do, guys? Good morning.
What's going on?
Anyways, yesterday I was at work.
You can't start a story with anyways. You can't.
Unless you're Dave the King of Mexico.
That's one of Bean's pet peeves.
As I was saying, is another thing you can't start a story with.
Bean just goes right into the stories without any of those. So that's...
All right.
So anyways.
I saved an old lady from drowning in the pool of the shallow end with a big fat noodle. How's that? And in the process, I dropped my Bluetooth in the water, and now it's broken, and I have to spend another $50-$60 for a brand new Bluetooth, so I don't get a ticket while I'm driving.
Don't do that. The police aren't serious about that whole wireless thing. Don't worry about it. Just use your cell phone just like you did before July 1st. No problem.
So this old lady, it has a big fat noodle in the shallow end, and I reach for my phone, and she yells, Polina, I'm drowning, I'm drowning.
Okay,
and
a noodle is...
I don't know what a big fat noodle is, Polina.
A noodle is one of those things in the pool that's round like this, and it's just a long pole,
and
but it's made out of... Yeah, it floats.
Sorry. That's what she said.
It floats. It's supposed to hold you up.
But, it's like a styrofoam tube, kind of. Okay.
How did she drown with that?
She's 82 years old, and she's really senile.
Well, then why did you bother saving her?
She must have known you, but if she called your name...
Right, but she pays me, so it kind of felt bad if, you know, she drowned on my watch, so...
She pays
you? You were looking after her.
I was, and we were swimming in the pool, and she managed to be drowning in the shallow end where, by the way, she could stand. She could stand.
I'm going down. It's like 2.5 feet deep.
God was trying to take her home, and there you are ruining God's plan. That's why he punished you with the Bluetooth.
Who are you to overrule God?
Yeah. Why do you hate God?
I love God.
I don't think
you do. Well, clearly not. God? He sent you a sign, and you ignored it. You spit in his face.
God wanted that woman. Okay, thanks for the call.
All right, Polina, apparently you're done with
that. Bluetooth stole some water and you can't quite hear us. You know what you Kevin do with the whole law, you know, I don't have a hands-free set.
Oh, you don't?
So what I do is I put my my cell phone on speaker, and I just lean up against my head. I put my hand on my forehead.
You're a tricky bastard.
Like I'm leaning against the window like I'm really tired, and I just talk into my hand while I'm driving.
Do you really do that?
To make it look as if I'm just leaning on my closed fist, but actually my phone is inside
Let
of it.
Let me ask you this question. How many times have you seen someone driving down the road leaning on their fist like they're tired?
If they're really tired.
Never.
And the window's open and they're leaning sort of on
Never
the door
once.
Jam and driving.
I've never seen that.
I see it all the time.
What is the new July 1st? Is it a primary or a secondary offense in California?
I believe it's a felony. I believe.
No. I mean, can they pull you over just for talking on your phone with holding a phone, or does it have to be in connection with something else, like speeding or swerving?
go for it.
Yeah, they can.
They can pull you
so
over
it's
for
a
it.
It's a primary offense now. Wow.
I guess.
And your advice to the listeners, Kevin, is to just ignore that?
Yeah, they don't mean it. They're not serious.
The advice is just pretend you're really tired and just lean on your hand with your phone.
Wait a minute. King of Mexico,
ensconced in your hand.
Tell me that again in my headphones. You've been pulled over for it three times? Oh, son of a bitch. All right, that was not a good story. Sorry.
We can't hear your end.
I know. I was
going to
tell you my end. His end, but his end was super boring. He said, I've gotten it three times. So I thought, he's been pulled over three times. That's funny. It was just July 1st.
Three tickets.
Just, he's done it three times.
Oh.
On the phone three times?
That's crazy. Listen, three times since
I thought there was more to it, too. I don't know why he would say.
This show is horrible.
I've done it three times in my
I'm nuts.
I hope no one is listening to this now.
I'm an outlaw.
They're not,
I talked
trust
on the phone
me.
without wireless. My three times I did it.
Hey, Dave, if you're still out there.
Oh. No habla retardo, Speedy Gonzalez.
All right. I want to thank our special guest, Gene Simmons, for joining us today. Of course, the legendary bass player for the band Kiss has got a new book out called Ladies of the Night in stores today. You can meet Gene at the Borders Books, 1360 Westwood Boulevard in Westwood tonight at 7 p.m.
All right, tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have Ronnie Renner, who's going to be in the studio. He is going to jump Santa Monica in a motorcycle. I believe
wow.
that's how he's going to do
all
it.
All of Santa Monica?
The entire city.
Wow. Big.
He's going to get a running start with his motorcycle. He's just going to hit a ramp and go all over
he's
the entire
run
city.
Run with the motorcycle?
A running start. He's going to... Oh, never mind.
I think it's the Ferris wheel, I believe, is what he's
okay,
going to
do. Okay, whatever.
Pacific Park.
Like, there's a difference.
Pacific Park.
VH1 Honors tickets. We have those for tomorrow as well.
Okay.
Sweet. That's Foo Fighters, Pearl Jam, playing Who songs. Tara Patrick will be on the program tonight.
She has got a tremendous set of boobs.
She does. Yeah. She's on the cover of the New High Times, don't you know?
Oh.
Also on tomorrow's program, we're going to talk to people who are on the no-fly list. We've done this one time before, and it is fascinating. If your name is on the no-fly list, it appears that there's no way to get it off. You will get pulled out of line every single time for the rest of your life.
Should have thought of that before you were named after a terrorist.
If somebody has some name that's close to you, I don't know how that works, but it seems to. And we're going to talk to Jesus Beans Gardener tomorrow, so that should be fun. Plus, don't forget, every day at 8 noon, 4 and 8, you score an Xbox 360 Rock Band, tickets to the Mayhem Festival, and then Friday morning we're going to do a drawing. You get to go to the show in a helicopter, and you get to hang backstage with Disturbed and play Rock Band with that band.
Rock Pennywise band, is coming up as part of 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. Also, Modest Mouse, Rise Against Danzig, Just For You, Psycho Mike, Linkin Park, Green Day, and more, all coming up after this.